So we'll just go through some of what we began with, and maybe we'll try to get one more in after, I guess, the final, before we start up again, just to finish up with Yibum and Chalitza. And then in June, maybe we'll do Zika and some of those other topics. There are a lot of topics left, and they're, each one is really amazing, so we'll do what we can. So today I'm not going to try to finish everything, because we just won't make it. So, but let's at least complete some of the issues that we began with last time. Thank you, Ruben. I'm not going to go too far, too long, because I also don't want to take away from Sunday. When is the Bechina? On Wednesday?
Yeah, that's when we're on Sunday.
Wednesday. Okay. So, yeah. Okay. Good. So we're in the middle of discussing the relationship between Yibum and Chalitza, which obviously is a massive, massive topic. And that touches on all sorts of issues. So it began with, a discussion that we have mostly, I would say two-thirds or three-quarters finished, but we still have more to talk about, especially in light of the other parts, and that is Kol Ola Yibum, Ola L'Chalitza, and also the possibility of that, operating in the opposite direction as well. Again, whether it's Xeris and Kasuv or Svara, whether it's a common denominator halacha or a causal halacha or Xeris and Kasuv, what the scope of it is, are there exceptions? What is the nature of the exceptions, et cetera, that we've done, quite a bit about that. There's still a few more things to talk about. In addition to that, obviously the question of Kola Ola and this broader question of the relationship between Yibum and Chalitza touches on quite a few other things as well. One is the Kedima, which was also discussed, but not, exhausted in any way. The discussion of Mishnah Rishona, Mishnah Achrona, Abba Shaul, the Chachamim, how much of that is a Darabanan, Daraisa discussion, how much flexibility there is. So obviously that is a question. The question of Nishma Levatel, as we discussed earlier in the year, and we've seen how those issues are, tremendously relevant to formulating the relationships and also to, really pursuing them. And then, in addition to that, we've seen some other issues, and that is the question of Efshel Lekayem Shneyam in particular, which I think we're in the middle of, the discussion on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, where the Gemara wants the Chaf Amud Beis and Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, where the Gemara wants to know whether or not the potential of Chalitza creates an Efshel Lekayem Shneyam that would preclude Aseh Docha Lo Aseh. So obviously that, is very important to us. We'll get back to that. We're kind of in the middle of that. Obviously, as we've noted, there are two elements of that. One is an Efshel Lekayem Shneyam objective question that applies throughout whenever we apply that principle, and that is how much of a gap, quantitatively, qualitatively, both, in terms of, the preference of the performance, A, that's one question, and to what extent, being part of the same mitzvah or, weighing the choice between two different mitzvos, maybe there's a third option, and that maybe depends on, particularly relevant here, even if there are two different mitzvos, does it matter whether we're dealing with two completely independent mitzvos or two conjoined, mitzvos, even if they are independent somewhat. Let's say you count them separately in minyan mitzvos, but you acknowledge that there's a relationship between them. What impact would that have on this question? But that's one question, the relationship. And then, as I say, the discrepancy between, the quantity and quality of the options, as well as how independent they are from each other. That's obviously also a very critical issue. The question of minyan mitzvos itself, both the count and the formulation of the mitzvos, and the special status that Yibum and Chalitza has, in that respect, paralleled in some respect by, pidyon, and Arifas, Peter Chamor. We'll get back to that in just a second. So that's another issue. I may be missing some. But and then, of course, one another question that we touched on in the beginning of the year, but we'll touch on again, briefly as well, and that is the Gemara on Lamed Tes Amud Aleph and Amud Beis, which we'll talk about in just a few minutes, and that is the option of Chalitzas Gadol and Yibum Katan, assuming that there is a din of Kedima, of the Gadol. Connected in terms of the psukim with the concept of Bechor, as we discussed it. So, again, another way of testing the relationship between Yibum and Chalitza, and again, the level of, precedence or priority or ideal preference, as opposed to, another factor to throw into the mix. And that is, if you have to choose between what seem to be, two factors or two preferences, Yibum versus Chalitza, and then, the Gadol Shaba'achin, versus the Katan. So once again, that would seem to imply the discussion in the Gemara. It depends how you, what you think the two studim are and what you think the psak is. We're not going to go into that right now. But the very discussion itself, the more you would think that, let's say, Yibum and Chalitza, are independent of each other, you would think that, that's not a serious, discussion. On the other hand, if they're linked, so, it also might not be a serious discussion if you think that the linkage puts Chalitza, just as a matir and as a b'dieved. But again, if they're linked, and they're somewhat rivals or options, for solving this problem, not just practically, but even, more ideally, then this question of the Gemara and Lama test, becomes an important question. So all these and more are connected, to the problem of how we look at, the relationship between Yibum and Chalitza, this phenomenon, of having two options, which is very rare, and two options which are, both mutually exclusive on the one hand, because if you choose one, obviously you are, rejecting the other. But at the same time, side by side and be, connected to their mutual exclusivity, is the overlap between them, right? The part of Yibum, is, you might argue, is avoiding Chalitza, or at least avoiding the, Torah's seemingly unflattering, description of that choice that you've made. More to the point, part of what Chalitza is, or what it's defined by, is the rejection of Yibum, or so it would appear. So all this is part of this this bigger topic. Okay. So having said that, let's pick up with just a few issues, that we were in the middle of, and then again, we're not going to tax you too much, but so I think the last thing that we were discussing was introduced a little bit by the further discussion of number one, the Meiri's. I think we're in the middle of discussing the Meiri on page 82 and the Meiri on page 84. At least that's how I remember it. So two discussions of the Meiri. One is a more absolutist preference for kol ola yibum ola chalitza kol she'ena ola yibum ena ola chalitza, and the suggestion that exceptions are only durabanan, like that Rama in the Rav of Rama Nahar, and in general, as we saw, right, that seems to be a one possible approach, and something that the Meiri in a few places seems to prefer, something that is actually understandable, as well as his comment on the Sugyan Chaf Aleph, you know, about Chalitza v'makom yibum eina mitzvah. So and the ha'ara that I was trying to make was that both formulations of the Meiri are distinctive, and it's also significant to me that they're not, you know, the same. They zero in, you know, on two different. I don't think they're inconsistent at all. You could have said it's the same issue, and he could have just used, the formulation, you know, of. But in some respects, I think he was avoiding it because he thought as a matter of truth, he thought these were two different questions. And in some respect, because of that, he kind of projects, you know, two, not opposite, but again, you know, two formulations that are in different kivunim, we'll call it, directions. So in the first question of, you know, why he prefers, you know, the position, aside from it being a more purist position, you know, and having many advantages, but it also, as we can understand, runs, you know, contrary to, you know, very explicit makoros, you know, that seem to, you know, defy, you know, a more simple, I wouldn't say simplistic, because that has an insulting connotation, I don't mean it that way, but a simpler, purer, we'll call it, kola ola. On the one hand, the klal seems like a klal, and most klalim, our tendency is to think of them as absolute. And if there are going to be exceptions, that the exceptions are going to be very minor and usually for some technical, you know, reason which isn't really an exception. And we have the, you know, perspective of that, you know, in this topic as well, you know, especially those who think that what look like exceptions are all cases of our v'yibem kana, or kana b'miktsas, etc. So, you know, but on the other hand, does it say we have, you know, especially, you know, Almana L'Kohen Gadol and possibly some other cases, you know, as well, which we've discussed, you know, Mu'beres and so on and so forth. So the Meiri's view, you know, which is, you know, both on Lamed Hei and Daf Chaf, you know, which prefers the Klal, you know, and sees everything else as Drabanan, is not a Dover Pashut at all. And the explanation that he gives, as we noted, is based on the, it's based on the Yerushalmi. So I want to talk about those two Yerushalmis in just a second. The Yerushalmi, which makes a distinction between, the Matir, we'll call it, and the Kinyan, you know, perspective, you know, on Chalitza. In addition, again, I don't want to... reanalyze the whole thing, but I was pointing out that I think there are two, you know, points of emphasis in the Meiri that could have been different from one another. Again, did anybody have the language that we're Eitani Avit? No, that's the other one, right? Which one is which? First, I'm starting with the other one, the Kola Ola one. Where he quotes Yerushalmi, that's on the Kola Ola one, right? I think I have it here. Oh, I think I left it in the other one. Okay. Yeah. So he quotes the Yerushalmi, which we'll get to in just a second, to support the view of a more expansive klal of kol she'eino ola, correct? Eitan? Right. But that Yerushal, so again, I just pointed out that, and I don't want to elaborate anymore, but that there are really two emphases in the Meiri. I'm not saying there's a stira in the Meiri, I'm just saying it's hard to know which one, you know, is the primary, you know, point of that he's trying to make. One is lo rami alei, meaning that the real mechayev is what I suspect he really holds, is yibum, and that, you know, chalitza is always, you know, the rejection of yibum, that's part of its hagdara, and therefore even, you know, befoal, or you could have a very expensive, it's not just a shear in zika, it's also going to be in cases where there's actually no yibum. So the idea of lo rami, it's lo rami allowed to do chalitza, it's only rami allowed to do yibum. It's not that if you don't do, you have a, like, you know, a pecking order, you know, you have a chovas hagabra to do either A or B, or even if there's a preference to do A, you know, but if not, to do B. You know, it's more that there's only a chova to do A, and then B is defined by, you know, the rejection of A. Right. So that's, but I think you could, just to be fair, you know, fit into the Meiri, the other possibility, and that is that it's a shear in Zika, just that this is how he defines Zika. Because he also emphasizes that what chalitza is the matir of the Zika. It's not a kinya. Correct? Okay. Anyways, also those things. But that is the Meiri. So the Meiri's idea that kola ola, let's say, or an expansive kola ola, you know, is connected to the question of whether or not chalitza, you know, is a kinyan or a matir is an interesting phenomenon. Like, it didn't have to be that way, right? You could have said that the Yerushalmi's discussion, which we'll get to in just a second, is about, you know, a narrower question. And that is, how does the mitzvah, the independent mitzvah of chalitza, work? That is what the Meiri is discussing, is how independent is chalitza from yibum, right? How independent it is that connected to what the nature of its working is? How, you know, what the dynamic of chalitza is? How chalitza, you know, affects a situation as opposed to, let's say, some other possibility, or as opposed to yibum? So what's important about this Meiri, in addition to everything else, is that he's creating a link between a Yerushalmi, which discusses two perspectives on how chalitza works, and he's suggesting that link, you know, is what determines the expansiveness of its connection to yibum. The Yerushalmi itself has nothing to do with yibum, right? Now, do I think that that's a problem? No, this will make it clear. I like it. But I don't think it's mukhrach, and I think, therefore, A, the Meiri gets credit for that, or, if you want to look at it in another way, you know, it's vulnerable to being, you know, meaning is that for the people who have, let's say, a lesser expanse, who think that, you know, the klal of kola ola is much more limited, right? Are they going to have a problem necessarily with that Yerushalmi? Not necessarily at all, right? So let's discuss the Yerushalmi either way, just for a couple of minutes. So what is that Yerushalmi? Romy? Have it? What is the Yerushalmi that he's quoting? So I wanted you to look at a couple of these Yerushalmis. This is the one, Aleph Beis, what is it, Tess? I'm sorry, Aleph Beis, Dalid. I wrote down the numbers here, one second. I just want to get greater clarity on that Yerushalmi for a moment. Aleph Beis, Gimel Aleph, and Dalid Tess. You have the language of the Yerushalmi? You have it? I mean, we can also sing it. You know. It's coming. You know. What? I like that. That's a good answer. You know, I'm still just recovering from Yonta. Okay, the best one to do is Dalet Tess, really, even though the first one is, you know, is Aleph Beis, but Why is the best one to do dalet tes? David? Stam? Any of the akivas want to? Why is the best one to do dalet tes? Zev? Adir? Why is the best one to do aleph tes? Levi?
I don't remember.
Exactly. What? You just said I don't remember?
I don't remember which one's which, like why, the difference
in No, it's just numbers. What? Which would be the best? Okay. I mean, that's why no one answered the question. You're being melamed tzchus on everyone. So what were you, you're saying that's a terrible, educationally, it was a terrible way to answer. I should really be asking the question, what would be the best place for this Yerushalmi to be? Okay, so I'm going to reformulate. I'm a cobble the educational bikoret.
It discusses two things. Rabbi Yochanan challenged them, and it is probed.
Okay, go ahead. No, you're totally right.
So it could be in the Mishnah about the Isakrovim in the fourth paragraph. Or it could be about Yochanan Mishlakesh, which the Gemara talks about in the first paragraph.
Right, but that's a Bavli. Right.
You don't really have to link that to the first
paragraph. So you're going for the fourth paragraph?
You can link it to Lo Yivna.
Did I say before? Okay. I mean, it could be linked to Lo Yivna, great. But what's more likely to be connected to? Krovei Chalitza.
Yeah.
So it should be in the fourth parak. Okay. 100%. So that's Dalid Tess. Right, so saying the numbers actually wasn't so... I mean, you're saying, well, you have to explain what's in each parak. Right, okay, so... It should. So what is the Mishnah, or the Yerushalmi, at least, Dalet Tes? You have the Mishnah? You know which one it is?
I think it's Chol Yisivito V'Nasa Achim Es Achosa U'meis Chol Es Es Lomi Sevem Es Echen HaMagarish Ishto V'Nasa Achim Es. Is it that Mishnah?
I take it. Yes, exactly. So what does that Mishnah tell us? That there's a difference, seemingly there's a difference between
Achos
grushaso is the raisa, and achos ishto afilu grushasa is the raisa, and achos chalutzaso, it doesn't say it's drabanan in the Mishnah, does it? It just says that there's chalitza, but there's no yiba. Okay, it's another one of those actually Mishnayas, which is actually interesting in light of the Meiri a little bit too, but maybe that's where he gets it partly. Yeah. So you have here the same line in the Yerushalmi basically appears in all these four or five places. You have it there, lady? Shimon, what is it? Shimon Bar Abba?
Shimon Bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan. Ma be choleitz, ma be megarich.
That's a pretty straightforward question.
Amar le, ma atzavur chalitza kinyin in elevator. Sounds like it's saying, you think that it's as if they were married and chalitza is like a get, such as
she's like Mishasa, rather
the only reason
she's
sticking around
is
because
she's
high
of Mitzvah's
Yiba. And therefore, the Chalitza is just a way to get out of
Mitzvah's
Yiba, but they weren't in a
relationship. So or them get out of the Mitzvah's Yiba, or out of the Zika.
Yeah.
Right? If that isn't the same thing, right? Could be the same thing, could be different, but either way, to be precise, right? Ein ha'achin, so then the question is, so like, why can't the brothers have a relationship with this Chalitza? If she's not really if she's not, the equivalent of Grushas Achiv Hachai, right? After all, from a Eishes Achiv Hameis point of view, right? You would have thought, that's long gone. Because we solved the chalitza problem, we solved the problem of her zika through chalitza, right? So that's why the Yerushalmi says, "Go ahead, eino achin." Well, the answer is no, we didn't, or not fully, or there's some remnant, left, of that. Is it Meisan Lo Yivne, which is why you were suggesting it should connect it to, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shlakish, 100%, which is exactly why it is in the beginning. That's why it's in Perek Aleph, you know, Halacha Beis, etc. So basically, this Yerushalmi is a very interesting Yerushalmi, and it's interesting that the Meiri quotes it. Basically, the Yerushalmi then is weighing whether or not Chalitza is a Kinyan or a Matir. Correct? And it's concluding that it's a Matir, and since it's actually, if you look at the, again, the first time that the Mefarshim on Yerushalmi discusses is at Perek Aleph, Halacha Beis, because that's the first one, and then they just point out each time that they spoke about it earlier. If you look at the, I think it's the Pnei Moshe, if I remember correctly, so he says, yeah, and of course, when we talk about, you know, Ishto Shel Meis being the problem, we don't mean Kares, you know, Kedekaimi Kaimi meaning Kares, we mean, you know, some sort of Iser Lav Lo Yibne, right? And then, of course, it depends how you understand that. As we've discussed already, the Bali Tosis understand it one way, Ramban understands it a different way, but either way, there's no kares. If you look at the, what is it, the Karbon Eda, he makes it sound like the Yerushalmi thinks that there's kares, right, which would be Tamua a little bit. Okay, but either way, that's the answer of the Yerushalmi. But what was the Hava Mina? The Hava Mina was that Chalitza is a Kenyan. What does it mean? How can Chalitza be a Kenyan? What does it mean for Chalitza to be a Kenyan? It means that it's almost, so it sounds like either the chalitza itself is a kinyan, or the chalitza is kind of a, like, you know, just like you have, and I don't mean it exactly, just like you, Gemara has, let's say, a discussion in Kiddushin, right? Whether Erisin is, I'm sorry, whether Bia is Erisinosa or Bia Nisuinosa, you know? Like sometimes you have, like a shortcut, you know, that establishes, you know, or skips a step. Either skips a step or is the equivalent, you know, of both steps. You know, so it sounds like the chalitza is a form of, you know, yibum v'gitin or a technical kinyan and then a hafgas a kinyan, you know, bivasakas. Right, and actually, if you look at the Mefarshe Yerushalmi, so the Ridvaz, you know, just points out that this, you know, maybe the Mokar, like, it's a strange idea. Like, if you look, some of the Mefarshe Yerushalmi to say, oh, it's the equivalent, you know, of, you know, a Kenyan. Not really, it's literal, not really a Kenyan, because is she Ishto at all? You know, the answer is, oh, it's enough of a relation. It's not just a Matir. You know, she's chalutz, she's called as a chalos of chalutzaso, and chalutzaso is still enough of a relationship to the living brother, right, that it would, it would be asur betoras that, and therefore, you know, when the question is, you know, when there's a marriage with the sister, you know, why isn't that, and why wouldn't that be enough, like, to exclude not only chalitza as well. That's what the original question of the Yerushalmi is. Why is it when it comes to a grusha, you know, that the prohibition of achos, grushas, I'm sorry, yeah, achos, grushas, achiv, is mafkia, any kind of zika. There's no chalitza and no yibum, right? Masha'en kein, you know, when it comes to, chalitza, we're mechalik between yibum and chalitza, right? So the answer is, what do you think? It's a kinyan. That would explain it, meaning this question. So the way some mefarshim seem to say, they're uncomfortable. Like, where is the kinyan? What is the kinyan? The whole chalitza is just like a get, you know. But a get is, The problem with is not grushaso the pashtus. The problem is ishto afapishin is garsha. Ah. So what some of them seem to be saying, I think, are two ways to explain this havamina, you know, is that no, it's not really true. You know, it's there's a status of grushaso, that's also chalos, let's say. and there's a status of chalutzaso that is parallel to it. Either are differences between them, so you know, obviously there are differences because one was, you know, preceded by a real kinyan ishus, and the other not. But there's still like a chalos chalutzaso, and maybe that includes some element of kinyan, or maybe it doesn't. Hard to know. The Ridvaz Dafka doesn't read it that way. He likes to read it like totally kipshuto, as if you know what's really happening here is that there is some sort of an ishus, right, which is followed by a get or by a chalitza, you know, something like that. And he suggests that you know the source for this is the fact that we say base chalutza now. He thinks that that's the pshat in the Bavli. If you look at the Gemara on Mem Aleph, you have like, one second. Like it's just important to understand what this is. But it's also important that maybe Rabbi Akiva actually holds this way. Right, so you have on Mem, you have this Mishnah, where does this Mishnah on Bavli? Mem Aleph Omer Aleph, the one that you just read, right? It's a strange Mishnah, I should just add. You know, unfortunately, the Bavli kind of, you know, neutralizes it. Then the Yerushalmi, you know, is bothered by it, taking it more seriously. But the Mishnah is a cholesi vemto, venasa, achi, vesachosa, umes chaletza, shlomis yabemes. But of course, the tricky thing is, it says, the chain hamagarish, is ishto, venasa, achi, vesachosa, umes, hareza, ptura. So the Bavli, you know, is troubled by the language of the Mishnah. Anybody would be. You know, it sticks out from a literary, it just doesn't read well. And it's also logically flawed, because it's not the chain, there's a huge discrepancy. So that's what the Gemara says, my v'chein, right? What's the v'chein? They're different. Ema aval hamagaresh, right? Omer shalkish kan shon rebi, achos grusha midivrei Torah, achos chalutza, right? Midivrei sofrim. So if you think divrei sofrim, like the majority of Rishonim, is that it's a din d'rabbanan. So basically, this Gemara is asking the question, like, what's the v'chein? V'chein is you can't have a lopsided v'chein, can you? Can you have a lopsided v'chein? And the answer is, you're right, it's a bad girsa. And what this is all about is just a din d'rabbanan. However, you don't have to read that way. It could be that, you know, there's something more to this Mishnah. Maybe the Mishnah is saying something like, again, the Pashas of the Gemara, and this is how Rashi, you know, most people interpret, is that the, you know, there would be Yibum Daraisa too, basically, right? And this is only a Din D'Rabbanan. The other way to read the Mishnah would be to say that, you know, what's true for Chalutza, I'm sorry, what's true for Grusha, you know, bein b'yibum b'bein b'chalitza, namely that there's, even the achar gerushin, there's a status of, you know, achos grushaso, is partially true, you know, in the case of chalitza. And there's a status of achos chalutzaso is a chalos, right? And maybe even doraisa, or maybe that's the drabanan, or high drabanan, or low doraisa, whatever it is. There is such a category. And I hope we'll get a chance to pursue it a little later, but there is such a category, except that it expresses itself in excluding Yibum, but it doesn't exclude, you know, Chalitza. And why is that? Maybe because it's not, you know, where you don't have the Ishto, you know, Shenis Garsha part. You only have, you know, the Shem Chalutza, like the Shem, you know, Grusha. So there's a Bechain, it's a lopsided Bechain, but maybe a logical one. Or, if you want to take it like the, as I'll show you in a moment, the Ridvaz does, and that is that, you know, maybe there's a kind of equivalent to Ishto too, but it's still a very Mechudash Ishto because it doesn't ever express itself. You know, there's no temporal expression of it in the sense that, you know, you know, the chalitza, you know, is bevasachas, like, you know, an ishus and a gerushin, you know, so, you know, that inhibits any expression, and or, and therefore it's limited in its application. Anyway, that's the Mishnah and that's the Gemara. Here in Mem Aleph, I've got two ways to read it. Then you look on Mem Dalid on Mem Aleph. So that's where you have the position of Rabbi Akiva. This is a Gemara that we read already, right, when we talked about Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. Ben Sion, you have it there? Just if you go just very quickly. Hamasu grushaso, andose chalutsaso. You have it? Yeah, so this is back to Rabbi Akiva. If you recall, we discussed, when we discussed Rabbi Akiva, we did, right, the sugya and daf tes, so the sugya on mem tes and the sugya on mem dalet, right? Those are the three in Yavamos that are especially critical. Yeah, so this mission, of course, is very critical. We talked about it, Masu Grushaso. But so in addition to Masu Grushaso, there's also Nosei Chalutzaso, right? And Nosei Krovas Chalutzaso. And all of them are Yotzi Avlad Mamzer, Mepashas, according to Rabbi Akiva. Right? And this is the Rabbi Akiva, that what? That there's no Tfisas Kedushin and that there's Mamzerus, Bechaybe Lavin of some sort, wherever you draw that line. Okay? But included is Nosei Chalutzaso, right? And even more important, Nosei Krovas Chalutzaso. By Krovas Chalutzaso, we mean on the same level, let's say, that if it was grushaso, krovas grushaso, right, would be a violation, right? So the Gemara itself, then the Mishnah concludes, Chachamim Omrim, go ahead. Yeah. They do agree about krovas grushaso. Well, even the Chachamim, that's chavik krisas, right? Because that's basically achos. I'm sorry, that's, achos, you know, achos ishto, basically. Okay, the Gemara itself challenges, it's a stray, again, you know, two Mishnayos in a row, in a way. Are they in a row? Not in a row. But two Mishnayos that are talking about the like, same broad topic, both of which the language, you know, is caught the, you know, tension of the Bavli for being, you know, supposedly inaccurate, you know, and the Bavli suggests radical surgery in both cases, to excise the, you know, the difficult lines. Okay. But just wonder how it got there. You know, again, we're not challenging the authority or authenticity of the Bavli's reading, but what's this all about? Okay. So since we know that the status of chalutza in general is, you know, a controversial issue, you know, with mixed evidence, so even when you accept the Bavli, right, you can see, you know, the appeal, let's call it, of the lashon. Okay, go ahead. V'savar Rabbi Akiva. Which is a quote of the Gemara in Mem Aleph, right? Which of course is connected, right? Two Mishnayos are connected too, right? In both cases, we're weighing. In one case, you know, what happens if there's a relationship with chalos, with chalutza, krovas chalutzaso. Sorry, and that's the case here on Mem Dalid, and the case there is, you know, if there's a nefila liibum of, you know, let's say achos or krovas chalutzaso, what impact does that have in terms of yibum and chalitza? Two different questions, two related questions about the relationship, you know, post chalitza, you know, in terms of other, or another way to say this would be, you know, how parallel is chalitza to gerushin, right, when it comes to, you know, these two issues. Go ahead. So yeah. What's the answer?
So, honey krovas grushasa.
They take it out. Right? Go ahead. Hakanami Mistabra.
Hakanami Mistabra. The Gittani Seisha. Umode. Minose. Krovas. Mushasa. Shavlad. Not there. I Amar. Bishlama. I Riba. Hainu Gittani. Umode.
Yeah.
I Amar. Lo. I Riba. My. Umode. So.
Okay. So that the Gemara, that's the Gemara's solution. Like, this is wrong. You know, it doesn't take it out. Okay, then the Gemara says, Dilma Kamashmalan. And that's what it's, the Hakol Modim is there for that reason, not because previously we're really talking about Krovas Grushaso, not Krovas Chalutzaso. Says the Gemara, Haktani Lola Kaman. We don't need that. We have another, that's the Mishnah Mem Tes Amid Aleph. Right?
Yeah.
So we're going from Mem Aleph to Mem Dalet to Mem Tes. These three Mishnayas, how do they connect with each other? Go ahead, Ezu Mamzer. Oh. Go ahead. Dimakasasim.
So in Cain, listening Shark Sharkhavi Krisos, Krovas Grushaso, Lamali, so why would be specific here? Allah Shmami, you know, I read.
Okay. So that's one day in the Gemara. Then comes, this is what I'm interested in now, the next day in the Gemara, which is. Lo Ariba. I mean, we're not talking about Krovas Grushaso until this point. We're talking about what the Mishnah says. You know, what the text says, Krovas Kalutaso. Okay. That's to explain the Seifa. Ella, Krovas Kalutaso. Have a mamzer. Wow. That's pretty radical. Right? So that is maybe the Yerushalmi's Hava Mina. Right? Meaning the Gemara, this line in the Bavli, 2 days in the Bavli, whether Rabbi Akiva would agree, you know, with the question in the Yerushalmi, which is to treat Chalitza and Gerushin in a parallel fashion. Such that, no, in two respects, maybe, right? One is, I mean, more directly here, in terms of, you know, if he were to go ahead and he were to be, you know, have a relationship with Krovas Chalutzaso, right, would there be Mamzerus? Correct? Would there be Tisas Kedusha? Would there be Mamzerus? And maybe by, you know, at least it's an open question going back to the Yerushalmi, you know, and maybe that would also mean that if, you know, the other brother married the sister of the chalutza, right, and then he died, so there was a nefila shniya, now there was a new yibum situation, and that included, right, achos chalutzaso, so would we revise our view and say that there is... you know, not only chalitza in that... I'm sorry, there is not only no yibum, but there's also no chalitza. Right? So we'll see in a second. So the Gemara says, Omar, keep going. Omar Abchia Baraba.
Omar Abchia Baraba.
Oh. So what does that mean, a kos of karo beso? So this is maybe the idea that chalitza, like, is really a kinyan. So, I think, you know, Tani, do you have something you want to say here or not? Anyways, I think that Rabbi Yosef Engel, in his Gilyoni Hashas, I'm not sure if I mentioned this or not. I thought I did. And after when we talked about the Rabbi Akiva and Tesomet Aleph, so again, what did the Bali Tosis ask on Tesomet Aleph? The question, how come Rabbi Akiva, you know, holds that, why does Rabbi Akiva hold that, you know, when it comes to Chai Be'Lavin, right, that there is no Yibum, there's no Chalitza, there's a Ptur Tzara, right? According to Tosos, is also Ptur Tzara, I should add. We're using, you know, pointing out the Grizz's, you know, Ha'ara based on Tosos on Yudam and Aleph, right? So if you put together Tosos on Tesam and Aleph, Tosos on Yudam and Aleph, why don't you just say, Ase Doche Los Ase? Because even though there's no Tisas Kiddushin, and even though there's Mamzerus, Rabbi Akiva doesn't deny the principle of Ase Doche Los Ase. Right, so we discuss the different answers to this question, there are different answers: the Ramban, the Tosa Rosh, right, Rabbeinu Peretz, slightly different answers to this question. I suggested at the time that the fact that the Bali Tosas in particular are more reticent is a shitasam, you know, in general about the bigger question, you know, about is this a relationship issue or is it a, you know, implementation of Yibum issue and so on and so forth. Anyway. This is an important issue, an important question. So I think Rabbi Yosef Engel, if I remember correctly, I think his answer to this question is that Rabbi Akiva, maybe Rabbi Akiva holds, like the Gemara, you know, on Chafam Beis Chafam Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, that is that you won't say Asadocha Lo Sase when it comes to Yibum. Because of the potential of chalitza, right? The Gemara says that we reject that because chalitza b'makom yibum eina klum. So I think his ha'ara is that, no, maybe Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that chalitza, right, is, you know, a factor, you know, even in the context, you know, of yibum. And this is what I have to check. I don't remember this, but I have to check. I thought that he quotes, or if not, maybe it was me putting together. I'm not really sure. But I thought it was him.
I don't think he quotes this part.
He does or doesn't?
He does not.
He doesn't?
Oh. He quotes the Zohar.
Oh, he quotes the Zohar. Ah, okay, we'll get the Zohar in a minute. That's interesting. Okay, good. Oh, that's what he quotes. The Beit Shmuel Zohar. The one in Parshas Chukas, which we'll get to in a second.
I think it was even a different Zohar. That says, like, specifically for
the Akiva, Chalitza Kodemes Li'ibum. In general, because it's Osa Nachas Ruach, you know, Lemes. Okay, so I'm adding, I guess, or maybe some other Akronim say it also, I don't know. And that is that in light of this, you know, this line, and if you hold like this line of the Gemara, Memdalet Omed Aleph, and that's how the Ridvaz was trying to connect it to the Yerushalmi, then what you might say is that Rabbi Akiva really holds that, you know, based on, you know, base chalutz hanala, kosov kira'o beso, and that is that chalitza is a kinyan. Not just a matir. Or at least it has a shame, you know, chalutza, or therefore achos or krovas, you know, chalutzaso. And if you say that, well, again, Rashi here, I should add, takes it back. Rashi, you have it there, Ben Sion? Go ahead.
Yes.
Akosuf kero beiso.
The last lace stomach must easily reach pirke. The gapani hafolis libko, the nasa achides, ahoso, mis holetes, but I think
you have. Right. So that isn't so obvious. But is it logical? For sure. I mean, Rashi is saying, basically, that Rabbi Akiva holds that, you know, chalutzaso is domeh legrushaso, and that's a din d'oraisa. So if that's true, legabe, you know, the creation of mamzerus and tvisas kiddushin and so on and so forth, you know, so then, you know, it should be huadin, you know, legabe, you know, hafkas chalitza as well as yibo. I personally thought, you know, that you might possibly be bechalik because we don't, you know, have the evidence that Rabbi Akiva, you know, interprets the Mishnah differently here, but that maybe Rabbi Akiva would interpret the, at minimum, Rabbi Akiva, if he wasn't going to argue, you know, with this explicit Mishnah that, you know, that, you know, that chalutzaso is not mafkia, you know, chalitza. It's only mafkia yibum, but at minimum, he might think that that's a din doraisa, and that that justifies the language of the Mishnah, so that the language of the Mishnah for Rabbi Akiva in both places, you know, would be intact. I don't know. Hard to know. Either way, the basic idea of Rabbi Yosef Engel, which is that maybe Rabbi Akiva answered up Tessa and Aleph, which is that Rabbi Akiva holds that Chalitza is, you know, not just a matir, but it's a mitzvah. But that ties you into the other Yerushalmi, I'm sorry, with the Zohar and the other Yerushalmi that I want to get to, you know, in just a minute. Okay. So, either way, just to sum up, the Meiri quotes this, and that, of course, makes it quite interesting. One of the reasons that I thought of this is because of the Meiri. I mean, going back to what we started with, the Meiri is quoting the Yerushalmi, right, that, you know, it's not a kinyan, it's only a matir, right, to explain, you know, why, you know, it's, he has an expansive view of kol ola yibum, ola l'chalitza, kol she'en ola yibum, ena ola l'chalitza. The ha'ara that I was making was, in addition to, like, there are two ways, and maybe they overlap, like, to emphasize the chiddush of the Meiri here, is that, you know, the Rishalmi seems to be talking about, you could have thought it's talking about a narrower question, namely, is it a, you know, is chalitza matir, is the mitzvah of chalitza a matir, or is the, you know, independent mitzvah of chalitza, you know, also a kind of a, either a chalos, you know, or maybe even a kinyan, a real kinyan, not just, you know, the effect of a kinyan, and an expansion of, like, you know, the chalos of chalu, of krovas chalutzaso, or, and so on. But the fact is that he sees this question of how it works as being connected also to, you know, how tied it is to Yibum, even though on the surface there's nothing in the Yerushalmi, you know, to suggest that that discussion, I think logically it makes a lot of sense what the Meiri is doing. Just, you know, it's important to identify that technically there's nothing in the Yerushalmi that links the nature of chalitza to the question of its relationship to Yibum. Just that logically, as I say, that is a very strong idea. Having said that, so then there's this other Meiri, you know, which discusses the Rabbi Akiva question, or the question we discussed for Rabbi Akiva is a Rabbi Akiva question, but, and that is, you know, why would you ever say ase dokalos ase when it's always efshar b'chalitza? So, you know, what I wanted to suggest for, I guess, instead of Yosef Engel's suggestion based on the Zohar, is that, get back to in just a second, is that maybe it depends on exactly this question of Yerushalmi, namely whether or not chalitza is a chalos, or maybe even more than a chalos, it is a, you know, kind of a kinyan and a matir, both, but it starts as a kinyan. The chiyuv chalitza reflects a kinyan, maybe, zika, and maybe the chalitza itself is a bias, it's base chalutz, it's, you know, ishto or yevemto legabe chalitza. Right, just like we saw, you know, earlier in the year, the possibility, you know, especially in the Netziv, you know, that you can have like a lahakim la'achiv shame, you know, one time opportunity, you know, yibum, but not something that is, you know, under the rubric of, you know, l'kakalo, you know, l'isha, which would require a get and so on and so forth. You know, so too, maybe chalitza is a way of, you know, kiyeshu achim yachtav, of accomplishing, you know, certainly closure and a hafkoas shem, you know, esha sameis, and by virtue of that, you know, it has to include maybe an element of Kinyan before the Matir. He has to take over the Ishus Legabe, you know, the Matir of being Matirit. And either way, that would put Rabbi Akiva in a very interesting, you know, position. So in addition to the idea of the Zohar, this is a mitzvah, the idea that it's a Kinyan and therefore an alternative, you know, to Yibum, not just by definition the Matir of the Yibum, is something that, you know, I think would make a lot of sense. So in light of that, the Meiri himself, as we noted, also has a Mekudash answer to that question of Chalitza B'Makom Yibum Eina Mishnah, right? So he could have said, you know, that, you know, because Chalitza is just so far, you know, inferior to Yibum in terms of being a preference or in terms of the character or nature of what it does, that, like, you just can't talk about these things together. You know, it's not a real alternative. It's not a real alternative because it's not acceptable, or it's not a real alternative because the gap is so great, you know, that it's not, you know, Mitzurah, let's say, as a real option. But instead, you know, he seems to go further by suggesting that it really isn't, you know, but that it's a mitzvah, but it's an independent mitzvah. Meaning the idea is not so much its, you know, inferiority, as much as, you know, its independence. So I think that that is very interesting in light of, here he's not quoting the Yerushalmi, point is. I was quoting, in a way, I'm trying to integrate for Rabbi Akiva, you know, with, you know, the direction of the Gulyoni Hashas, you know, to connect the Kinyan Matir question, you know, and Rabbi Akiva's view of the Beis Chalutz Hanal, again, the more extreme one or the more moderate one, you know, to the question of Chalitza Makom Yibum Mitzvah or Eina Mitzvah. But the Meiri himself, you know, actually sees the Kinyan Matir question more as a relationship to Yibum issue, and he sees the Chalitza B'Makom Yibum, you know, question, not about the relative, you know, preference or ideal of Yibum and Chalitza, but on the contrary, how independent, you know, how independent they are. So with regard to that question, let's pick up on that just for a few minutes because my time is getting scarcer. So I think I mentioned in the context of that, that even though the Rambam counts Yibum and Chalitza independently, right, it's clear that he doesn't see them, or it's clear that in the different places he presents them differently. And that while in the Koteret, he, you know, does strongly, you know, parallel, liyabeim, lachlots, you know, etc. In Sefer HaMitzvos, you know, he treats them in very different ways. And I think I already made the deal, so I don't need to go over it, in the beginning of Hilchos Yibum, the Chalitza as well. You know, the clear emphasis is that Yibum is a mitzvah and a chiyuv. Again, in Sefer HaMitzvos, he accomplishes this by emphasizing, you know, the role, different roles of the Yavam and the Yavama. In Yad HaChazakah, he emphasizes, you know, the lechatchila of the Yibum, the fact that it is a mitzvah and a chiyuv, you know, and presents Chalitza in language that reminds us of his use of language in other places as a matir. And even when he mentions it as a mitzvah, as a matir, he repeats the fact that it is secondary to Yibum. And, you know, his interest in the linguistic question, why this is Masachet Yevamos, you know, when Chalitza, you know, is 50% of the topic. I'm not sure if it is 50%, but whatever it is, it should be called, some other name, you know, maybe Masachat Zika, or that would have been a nice name, no? Masachat Yibum V'Chalitza. I guess, you know, he writes, you know, Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah, so you know, he's open to, you know, such, you know, but again, once again, just to make it clear, like the clear preference of Yibum is something that, you know, that is, you know, a principle for the Rambam. So either way, the Rambam has a certain dialectic that on the one hand, he, you know, does count these mitzvot independently. And at the same time, the way that he, aside from the koteret, the way that he counts them independently, you know, accentuates, you know, their different roles. Maybe that's another reason to count them independently. It's hard to know. That would be more of a reason to count them dependently if you only look at the chalitza as a matir, or independently, depending on your point of view. That's something that could go. You look confused. You did, yeah. Either way.
I'm just thinking about it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Meaning, the more different they are, the more distinctive they are, you know, there is more, obviously more reason to count them separately. The reason, you know, that it would be to count them together would be if you thought that, you know, put it this way. If chalitza attains a certain measure, you know, of independence, you know, from Yibum, you know, and it's different enough, so that justifies, you know, it not just being a prat, you know, in Yibum. If it didn't, you know, if it fell short, let's say, of that level of attaining independence, you know, then there would be even more of a reason, because of its difference, you know, to be, you know, just a detail, you know, in, I wouldn't say it would be, you know, Yibum the Chalitza so much. It would be Yibum and, like, oh, if you don't do Yibum, then, you know, you do the Chalitza. Either way, I wanted to contrast it, just for a couple of minutes, with the, at least Rabbi Yochanan Fischel Perlo's understanding of Sefer HaMitzvot from Sajiko. Yeah, Uriah.
This would be like the Ramban. If we had other examples of mitzvot that have like separate tibui and this like whole stuff in the Torah that the Ramban does actually put together?
So, yeah, I mean, that's a great methodological point. So again, I think so. again, the person who really kind of, you know, struggles with that the most is Rabbi Yochanan Fischel Perlo and Sefer HaMitzvot Sajiko, you know, all over the place. But in particular, in this mitzvah, Ayin Vav, and Ayin Vav, he thinks that, again, you know, Sajiko is counting, you know, Yibum the Chalitza as one. I'll just read you a couple of lines. But one of the things that he's so, you know, I don't know, scandalized, too strong a term, unhappy, you know, about, is like the comment that the Rambam makes, you know, in Sefer Mitzvot, when he talks about, you know, Petar Chamor, which I noted is, you know, is a very very long piece. Whenever the Rambam is lengthy in Sefer Mitzvot, Yesh Dvarim Bego, obviously he's, you know, trying to make a bigger point or is unhappy about something, trying to say something complex, you know, etc. So his, you know, he was clearly. And this is the point that Rabbi Yochanan Fischel Perlo brings out. Again, you know, like any other, you know, sefer, you don't have to buy every detail, but, you know, these people have, you know, had great eye, you know, and of course the knowledge and the wisdom to go with it as well. So even if you're not convinced by every argument, but some of the ha'aros, you know, themselves stand, you know, to be significant. And another way to deal with them, you know, is, you know, to be inspired by them, I guess, and motivated to refine, you know, the formulations a little more. So I think one of the things that troubles him, you know, particularly, he says, number one, I don't know why the Rambam is so convinced, you know, that Yibam and Chalitza are two different mitzvahs, not one. And I'll read a couple lines in just a minute. Like, is it really the linguistic, you know, fact that it says mitzvah sibum or mitzvah, you know, chalitza? Don't we find in other places, akin to kind of what you're at, don't we find the term mitzvah to do this, mitzvah to do that, even when we're dealing with chelkei mitzvah that are integrated and not, you know, independent mitzvahs? And he brings, you know, numerous, you know, examples. Moreover, and this, I think, is a great ha'ara, he said, like, you know, what is there in Petar Chamor and Pidyon, you know, I'm sorry, in Arifas, you know, Chamor and Pidyono, Like, what is there, you know, that is, you know, more likely, you know, to be in a single mitzvah than yibum and chalitza? Meaning the Rambam says, oh, you al yiksha beinecha, or whatever the language was, something like that, right? You know, why I'm counting, you know, pidyon and arifa, you know, independently, I'm doing that because of the parallel, you know, which is accentuated in the Mishnah in the first parak and the first parak of Bechoros of Yibum and Chalitz. I think we read this already. Right? It's up there? Great. Good. For everybody to see. So Rabbi Yerucham Fishel parallel again just has the Ha'ara. I don't think this is such a terrible question, but I think it's something that needs to be addressed objectively. And then it like pushes us to like, what is it? It sounds like he's saying the Rambam is saying, you know, that, you know, when you have something like a pair like this, which are, you know, they're mutually exclusive, you have to choose one or the other, you know. But I'm adding a lot of words here. But they are very different, or they seem fundamentally different, you know, in the approach that you're taking. I mean, it isn't, you know, exactly like making kiddush on, you know, wine or bread or matzah for dal kosos, mal itor. Yeah. So it's not exactly that. And it isn't, you know, it is more like, you know, the two perspectives on Yom Tov. You know, you can treat this as a lachem or la Hashem, or I don't know, maybe something even more radically different. You know, so, you know, you have a phenomenon of two alternatives that are somewhat, or maybe very, depending on your point of view, different, depending on what you think, like the default nature of the mitzvah likely is to be, you know. And then, you know, you have two options. Like, you could count them separately, or you can count them, you know, as details of a single mitzvah. And by the way, even then, you know, you could count them as like, oh, the Ikar, the positive, the more constructive, more obvious Kiyum one or Kinyan one, you know, like Yibum, let's say, or Pidyon. And then there could be the more, you know, B'dieved one, you know, the one, the one that you want to avoid, the one which is far more difficult, you know, to figure out, you know, how it is, like, you know, the Arifa or the Chalitza. So that instead, it could be a joint mitzvah. You know, it could also be, this he doesn't say, but I'm adding, it could be, oh, there's the Ikar mitzvah, and then there's the detail included in it, of what the alternative is if you don't do it. You know, so that's not even a share, that's not chametz matzah, you know, that's Hilchos Yibum or Hilchos Pidyon, you know, Petar Chamor. You know, with an added detail. That's also a possibility. So the point is, like, you have this, says Rabbi Yerucham Fishel Perlo, and, you know, maybe objectively, I'm adding, I say, to what he says. You know, you could go different ways with this. So what is it the Rambam saw? What did the Rambam do with this? You know, so he, for some reason, felt that objectively, it's more compelling, to think that Yibam and Chalitza are different and independent than it is to think that, you know, Pidyon and Arifa are different. And that's why he's telling you, like, I'd be more inclined, if it weren't for the phenomenon of Yibam and Chalitza and the comparison in the Mishnah in Bechoros, I'd be more inclined, you know, to do one thing with Pidyon and Arifa, I mean, to put them together. And, you know, but since there is this other phenomenon, A, B, the Mishnah is comparing them or equating them. So, Midah, Yibum, V'chalitza, you know, Nishma, le Arifa, ula Pidya. So, basically, Rabbi Yerucham Fishel Perlo says, Mehechetesi, why is pair, number two, Yibum and Chalitza, you know, a more obvious, you know, independent than pair number one? I mean, aren't there a lot of good reasons to think that Chalitza, you know, is just the ignoring of, or the bypassing of Yibum? Or that, Now I'm adding again. The both of them, you know, are just two solutions to the real mitzvah, which is, I'll use the language, you know, going back to the Nishma Levatel discussions, you know, resolving, you know, the outstanding Zika. That's the mitzvah. There's more than one way to do it. You know, so resolving or acknowledging the uniqueness, you know, of the Petra Chamor, there's also more than one way to do it. So whether or not it's, you know, the common, you know, denominator mitzvah or the more, you know, preferred, you know, solution that's the mitzvah, like, what? Why is one better than the other? So, again, I think, you know, objectively, they're both in terms of the language of the psukim, I don't want to do this right now, and logically, you know, that there might be, you know, very good reasons, you know, to make this look, including the fact that chalitza, you know, has a lot of pratin. There's, you know, we'll get to that in a second, the rikika and the kriya, and, you know, there's just many more details about chalitza, you know, base chalitza now, you know, like, you know, even if you don't go as far as Rabbi Akiva, however far Rabbi Akiva went in the second day of, you know, of the Gemara. But either way, you know, there probably are reasons, but the question is still a good question, or the question pushes you to figure that out. So just a couple of lines. He's convinced, Lamaskana, that Reb Sajigon really does think that it's one mitzvah, meaning Arifa and Pidyon is one mitzvah, and that Ibum and Chalitza is one mitzvah. I mean, there's nothing objectively, you know, that proves. Here, let me see if I can find a couple of lines here. Here. Yes, I think I do have it. Oh, get that in a minute. Yeah, this is on Mitzvah Ayin. Oh, don't tell me I don't have the first bit, the beginning of it. Ayin Vav. Yivemtecha chalotza yavim ulay Yakub sharir. Chalitza v'yibum l'rabbeinu agaon ein minyan ela mitzvah achas. So chivatau rabishneim ela b'yibum l'vad. He has different formulations. Here it's like the chiyuv, the mitzvah, is only yibum. You know, chalitza is just a mat here. Ela she'im lo chafetz liyavim. That's the booby prize. That's the, you know, either the matir or the tikkun or the avera, the tikkun avera. Nitna lo Torah reshus lepatra b'chalitza. V'chei mashma v'lishona v'hag v'hari al Barceloni. De kavana. One second. Limnosa mitzvah achas. Aval mi'azhor, so Rabbi Lazar Azakein, Arash ibn Gabriel, sorry, his bar shemonim shtei mitzvahs b'fnei atzmo. V'chein Rambam b'siyato menonim shtei mitzvahs. V'arambam hevi raya lezeh, referring to the mitzvah say reishit zayin, mima she'amru mitzvahs yibum kodemes mitzvahs chalitza, v'chein kasav rachbatz b'zora rakia, v'ein raya zumu venes klal, d'kvar ashkechon kiyotzva b'kama duchti. Kamo, they talk about the linguistic raya. In Sukkah, it says, Lula bimin v'esrog b'smol ma'itayma hanitlasa mitzvah v'hai chada mitzvah. V'leisman depolig b'ha dekulu chada mitzvah. Actually, it's a discussion of Rabbi Daniel Abavli and Rabbi Ramana Ramba. But mishum, d'gam chelke mitzvah nikroi mitzvah. Right? Ukvar biar harambam gufe b'sefer mitzvah kuf samachalef linyan sfirasa omer. Relevant. Right? Why don't you count separately Shavui and Yomi? The Alphagav, the Umbra Mincha, B'Menachos. Sorry. Mitzvah Lemimni Yomi, Mitzvah Lemimni Shavui. Mikomokom Shtem Mitzvah Achasein. Hein MS. The Kvianira, Rambam Sham, Gufa Kvar Hirgish Bazer. Shekosav, Ayitacha, Amoram, Mitzvah Lemimni Yomi, Vitachshom Shein Shtem Mitzvos. He's troubled by it. Anyways, Mivur Mibidvarav, Dafka, Hasam, Shalok Kuro, Minyan Ayamin Mitzvah, V'chein Minyan Ashur. These Michalik, maybe there's a difference between using like the verb, like mitzvah to do something, as opposed to calling something independently a cheftza shel mitzvah. I mean, he's trying. And then he talks about, you know, the evidence of that. I'm not going to go through it all. But what do you do? Still do with dalam minim? Okay. Ukvar olal daiti lomar de'ein kavanas haramam lahavi raya d'shtein. It's all saying, not from the language. What the Rambam is really trying to do, he suggests, is to exclude the view of the Ravid. The Ravid in Perek Beis, Hilchos Bikurim, when it comes to Pidyon, Peter Chamor, really doesn't think that the Arifa is a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo, but rather like, you know, a tikkun or a matir, etc. So, you know, he's trying to exclude that. But Agav, when he talks about the Sefer Mitzvahs, Essen Pei Beis, where the Ram discusses about this question, Shetzivanu Larov Petr Chamor Lo Nifta Oso, Hu Amar Yisbarach Lo Tifde Barafto, Yesh Lamaksha Sheyikshav Yomar Loma Meniach Piduso Varifaso Shtei Mitzvos. I'm sorry, Loma Mona. It's hard to read here. Loma Manisa Piduso Varifaso Shtei Mitzvah Filom Naniso San Mitzvah Achas Uti Arifaso Midine Amitzvah Kimosha Kasa Bishor Shvi. Lulei Mizeh Shematzinu L'Arbosenu Lashon Yorel Zeh Yosem Shtei Mitzvos Omar Mitzvos Ptia Kodemus Mitzvos Arifa Mitzvos Yibum Kodemus Mitzvos Chalitza El Shadavar Matmiya Tuvab Skipping De Arvech Arva Tzarech De Tola Lotanya Bidi Lotanya. Right? That's what I was saying before. Meaning, he's so sure about Yibum V'Chalitza that it became a raya for Arifa, you know, and Pidyon. How does he know about Yibum and Chalitza? And why is it any better? Hari b'b Yibum b'Chalitza gufa in lanu shum raya lo mar d'shtei mitzvah saying. That's what he suggests. Even the Rambam knew that. He was just trying to say that it isn't just a detail. Memes divrei arayvit tmuim echi tachein lo mar davar shet siva kasuv lasoso. The arayvit calls the arifa an aveira. This is Perek Bei Sochus Bikurim. When the Rambam says mitzvah say liftos petra chamor, b'seh v'im lo ratzah liftos mitzvah aseh la'arfo. So the Ravid writes, Omer Ram b'chai roshi ein zeh min ha'pilpul v'lo min ha'das ha'miyusheves she'yachzah zeh b'mitzvah aseh af v'sh'omer mitzvah p'tiyah kodemes l'mitzvah arifa lo she'tachzah of mitzvah li'aveira u'mazik nikro mafsid mamonish l'kohen she'tomar mitzvah p'diya, Omer, mitzvah arifa. So I don't think the Ravid means that fully either. Meaning the Ravid is saying that, you know, these are not equal mitzvos. One is a mitzvah, and the other is kind of like a tikkun for an aver. I don't think he means the arifa. It isn't. He's saying, you know, you kind of highlight, and you know, kind of have to acknowledge, you know, and suffer the loss as a result of not doing this, you know, appropriately. I think that's what the Ravid means, and it isn't so different from, in a way, the Chalitza. But either way, you get the general gist of it, and then he goes on, you know, Kedarko on many many pages. The Kavanos al Korcha Kol Yitachein Lomar Arifa Lo Chashiva Mitzvah Klal, right? The Kmo B'Chalitza V'Yibum Afagav the Chalitza Eina Ella Kmo Knas L'Hayavam. I mean, even the Rambam could think, you know, even that it's not like Arifa, but it's a Knas L'Hayavam B'Shil Shul Arotz Al Hakim L'Achiv Mikol Makom Kiv Tzitziva Akasuv V'Hayiv V'Ma Muchenes Im L'Yibum Im L'Chalitza. Right? L'Kach Hayibum Mitzvah V'Chalitza Mitzvah. So L'Zeh Akasuv, right? Tziva Akasuv B'Zu K'mozu the Chalitza Al-Korch Leika L'Meimar Mishum da'aydi b'yibum l'chud korelei tana d'masisa mitzvah shereb kol dechti korelei mitzvah avila hechad elo nizkar yibum klal. So basically he's trying to thread a very fine line between suggesting you can't compare yibum and chalitza on the one hand, and at the same time chalitza is not just a matir absent any kind of mitzvah whatsoever. V'shom b'vor adarminim b'chalitza mitzvah slavli hanos nitnu, etc. Okay. Right? V'amnam lefiza hadra tmiyasenu leduchta levada imbid nikra mitzvah einach reak shetei mitzvah b'fnei atzma v'gam chelke mitzvah mikru mitzvah kidakasivna. That's when he goes on to discuss Korban Olam Yoreh, just again, regarding Uriel's methodological ha'ara, which is totally on mark, which is like, you know, where do we find other, what you'd have to do is find, you know, cases that are comparable, and then you can figure out, you know, how comparable. You understand? But that's really what he's trying to do. In my opinion, part of what he points out in the continuation, as we said, umavadze ikar davar yesh l'tmua kivin l'amra Torah elis shechay v'liyavim ola chlotz hechi tachein l'amra shtei mitzvos yesh kan ma'achar tekol sheyibem ein makomod l'chalitza klal. So this again is Rabbi Yerucham Fishel Perlo l'shitaso. I'm not so interested in following up that right now, but just to be aware, like for him, the practical question of having, counting things in the minyan tayag, and includes A, that, if there's more than one count, there has to be in afkamina. Number two, it shouldn't be counted, if it's impossible to do them both. Because lemaisa, you can only do one or the other, and therefore, like, you can't accomplish all tariag mitzvos, in the case of Yibam B'chalitza or... So again, I don't think these are strong questions against the Rambam. I think the Rambam's orientation... Ukesh overall shteyem, eina over ela ba'aseyachas. Ukesh osin shteyem, lo dai shalom shkachas shi kayim yoser me'aseyachad, ela adraba, im yibim achar shechalatz, Isura Avad. Velodami the Pesach Rishon or Pesach Sheni. Another one. Shenimnim gam ledasa gaonim l'shtei mitzvos tahasim vaday kisha over veloasa lois harishon veloas hasheni, because you had two options. You're over b'shtei esin. Then he comes ubiyosa yeshli spale bazeh the korban ola v'yored shechila kakasa bein asher v'asher asher v'ani. Right. That's a Paris. Anyways, my bigger point, I guess, is two things. Number one, he's convinced that there are, moni mitzvahs who count one. B, a lot of the points that he's bringing up about the inability to do both at the same time, what is actually the halakha of our, v'lo asa, can you be mevatel shneim? So that's a very interesting question. This is also a discussion that Kronim have regarding Sefer HaChinuch. If you look at Sefer HaChinuch, if somebody could get up there for a second, Tav Kuf Tzadi Ches and Tav Kuf Tzadi Tes. So, it's interesting, I don't know the answer to this, but I see the, I think it's a question, and that is the Sefer HaChinuch, counts independently, like the Rambam, Yibum and Chalitza. But when it comes to, and you could totally understand why he had to do this, for it touches on exactly the practicality, but also the phenomenon behind the practicality, and that is that, these are, even if they're independent mitzvos, they're connected mitzvos, obviously, which is why, one is mafkia the other, or, one is an alternative to the other. However you want to say it, but it matters how you say it. And therefore, when it comes to, the typical formulation of the chinuch at the end of a mitzvah, like who's obligated, we talked about that earlier in the year, right, Zohar, Nekeva, etc. But then, im avar v'lo asa, so in both cases he mentions, im avar v'lo asa shneim. Like, do you violate the mitzvah of Yibum if you do chalitza, or do you violate the mitzvah of chalitza if you do yibum? Say, you can't do both, right? So on the one hand, it's a strange phenomenon when you count things separately, you know, for there to be a law that says that you only violate, you know, the bitul or the iasiya, you know, if you ignore both. But that's what you're always going to get, you know. But is that just purely practical, or is that more conceptual? Like, in order to violate, you have to, you know, have spurned both of these, you know, options. Not just lemaisa, because if you one obviously, you know, precludes the other, you know, and therefore the only way to violate, you know, fully, but maybe also conceptually that's true, because there are two. It's like, again, mashal lamad abardoma, just to make it clear, you know, we say that lav anita klase ain lokin olav, right? So there are different ways to explain that. I believe we talked about it earlier in the year, but let me just mention it again very quickly. You know, I guess the simplest, most obvious one is that there's like a tikkun, there's no malchus in lav nita klase, because you're partially metaken. And then the question is like, how metaken, you know, are you? You know, ki'ilu lohaya, you know, you moderated the iser. You know, that's why, again, we had some Rishonim using language of like mitzvah hababa beira, you know, when they talk about, you know, nosar, you know, and strafas nosar, you know, and stuff like that. There's obviously there are certain, lavanita glaces, you know, that, you know, completely neutralize, and there are others that moderate. If a person steals and then he's heshiv is like zeila shagazal, you know, it's hard to say, you know, that it's as if he didn't do the gzela. I mean, he won't get malchus because it's, you know, nita klase. But of course, he violates, you know, the lav, and it's an act of hezek. I don't want to get into gneva and gzela right now, but you get the idea. But there are certain lav nita klases where this goes to the sugya in Makos, the famous gemara, bitlo lo bitlo kimo lo kimo v'lo kimo, etc., where, you know, they're not really so much a tikkun as much as it's a way of establishing that the maisa veira doesn't have it's like almost like a lav shein b'maisa. You know, it's, you know, unless you not only do the action, but in conjunction with ignoring something else, right, you don't really fully violate the action. Not like gzela. I don't think that's true in gzela so much. But, you know, in certain other of those cases, but why am I telling you that? So here also, like, until you ignored Yibum and you did Chalitza, or, the violation or the abstention, you know, from Yibum only exists, you know, when you leave her in a state of Zika, or when you, again, there are two ways to say it also, when you leave her in a state of Zika, or when you do neither, you know, of the alternatives. But either way, you know, it's just curious and interesting that the Chinuch, consider, again, if you had said, you know, that even when you do Chalitza, you know, there's some, you know, Isur Aseh or something of Yibum, it probably would have been Mechudash, but understandably, certainly would never say the opposite, all things being equal, unless maybe you were a Zohar person, right? Mainly that, you know, if you didn't do Chalitza but you did Yibum, you know, that somehow you violate, you know, Chalitza. All I'm trying to point out is that one of the things that, you know, Baruch and Fisher Perlow is accentuating to explain his view that this should all be in one, you know, mitzvah, are these phenomena. And the question is whether we treat these phenomena, namely this idea of an alternative, this idea that you don't violate either until you violate both, do we treat that as kind of a technical, you know, dilemma or technically true? Or does it really go to, which would bolster his case, the idea that these are, you know, there's a common denominator, Isser, or that there is, you know, or that it's a package you know, perspective, you know, on your obligation. Sounds like you want to ask something?
Yeah, I mean, I just on a technical point.
Yeah.
I don't understand where the question is for the Sefer HaKenneth, because he's pretty explicit. I mean, he's explicit that it's both, meaning for both Yibam and Chalitza to be over the, for a Bittul Aseh, it needs to be that you didn't do Yibam or Chalitza.
Yeah.
In both. So.
Yeah. No, right. I'm just saying it's an interesting, you know, formulation. The fact that he needs, to say it. There is still a difference in his formulations, in that in the Yibam, this also, just you look at the language, in the case of Yibam, it's more just out there. And it's still interesting, namely that, you know, you only are over even Yibam if you also don't do, you know, Chalitza. In the case of Chalitza, he adds an extra line. What's the extra line? You have it there, Akiva? In order to Tuf Kuf Tzadi Tess.
The last
one. Yeah. So it's interesting that he includes that in the, like, if you even don't do Chalitza, right? It sounds like maybe the Yibum one, you know, is like a technicality. You know, and in the Chalitza one, you know, it's the Roa Levavo, you know, which is the leaving her in a state of Zika. It's not that, oh, you violate, it's almost like you violate the Aseh of Yibum if you don't do either Yibum and or Chalitza. And you violate, you know, being a Roa Lev, you know, when you don't even do Chalitza. You'll only violate Yibum if you also don't do Chalitza. That's kind of what he's saying. Because otherwise, that's the alternative. So technically, you're just not going to violate. But in the case of Chalitza, when you don't do Chalitza, you know, and you refuse to do Yibum, then we see you as somebody who's like ignoring the Zika. And that's like a Roa Lev. That's where you get that extra line. You know what I'm saying? I'm not sure. I'm just saying, you know, A, the phenomenon is, one of the riots that he's bringing is that you can't have these both at the same time. You can't do them both at the same time. So, again, in terms of like, you know, the Rambam, I think the Rambam counts Essen and Lavin when they're no nafkamina. I think the Rambam counts, other mitzvos, whether it's, multiple Essen or multiple Lavin. Even if you, by definition, are going to violate one, when you do the other. I mentioned Bal Yorba Yimotzeh is another example. I don't think the Rambam, requires, that you have the ability to violate both things at the same time. Because for me, it seems obvious that, the Rambam holds that the minion of Taryag is like a conceptual count. It's the categories of Chetzah Shel Torah. And therefore, even if there are no nafkamina, or you can't think of one, for the same reason that, the Rambam is very comfortable with having a Taryag mitzvos, which are just on the books formally, even if, there's no ability going forward to implement them. Something we discussed about, Zayin Amamin and Amalek. For the Rambam, if they weren't batel, then they're part of the Minyan Taryag. The Minyan Taryag is part of the Rambam's program, of conceptualizing and cataloging and classifying Kol HaTorah Kula. So that's why he reorganized, the entire world of Halakha. And that's why he, invested tremendous effort in, codifying things that are not Halakha L'maisa, Bizmaneinu. And for the very same reason, if L'maisa and Befoal, there are overlaps, then so be it, as long as it's conceptually, accurate. Similarly, I've said this many, many times, I'll just repeat it again very quickly, and that is like Rabbi Chaim Heschel Perlo, you know, has this view, like, should you count something as an assay or a lab? So in addition to the point that, like, you know, if there's not enough community, you shouldn't count both. But let's say, you know, you're only going to count one. It's like, which one should it be? Should it be the assay or should it be the lab? So he has this whole scheme throughout his writings, and it's an amazing work. You know, I'm using it as a, you know, foil, but as a, you know, in the most complimentary way. And that is that, you know, oh, the Bahag or the, you know, Ritz Geus or, the Rav Shlomo Ibn Gavirol or whatever, like they think, you know, that when you have like an overlapping asay and a lav, you should only count a lav. And Rav Sajagon, you know, typically always will count, you know, the asay. So that's like his view. And what will the Rambam do when he isn't counting both, and so on? I think that it's much more fluid. I think it depends on the nature of the particular mitzvah. If you can count, if you're only going to count something as an asay and a lav, you know, as an asay or a lav, you know, that which one you think is the dominant one to count is dependent on whether or not you see it fundamentally, you know, as a kiyum or as an iser. Like sometimes you have an iser which also expresses itself, like it overflows, you know, into ignoring, you know, even if you ignore its assay, that's like, you know, an affront. And sometimes, like, there's an opportunity to do a kiyum mitzvah, and like ignoring that, you know, is so egregious because you're avoiding this opportunity, you know, that the egregiousness of not fulfilling the assay, you know, also has consequences of a lav. So again, thinking of like Milan Korban Pesach, Aser Sheh Bekares, or Shabbos and Yom Tov, and other things where, you know, you have an assay and a lav and what the relationship is. So I just think that, but the takeaway is that a lot of the ha'aros that he makes, I think, are very cogent, and they really highlight, nonetheless, the Rambam's counting these separately and independently. But in my opinion, that doesn't mean that the Rambam held that they were equal mitzvos, meaning that they work in the same way. They're each one, you know, in addition to thinking that there's a clear preference, which he, you know, is very strong about. As I said, the diuk in the language of the Rambam, especially, in Sefer Mitzvos, but especially in Yad HaChazaka, I think is such that Chalitza emerges mostly as a matir, and Yibum, you know, of course, is the aspiration of, you know, an Ishus, you know, Shel Kedusha, you know, which is defined by Tzvisas Kiddushin and a lot of the other things, you know, that we've been describing, you know, all year round. Okay. So, So that is in terms of that issue. The question of Kinyan versus Matir, I think, is one part. And there's another Yerushalmi as well. Sorry, go ahead.
How did you think that the formulation of the Fenoch was highlighting that point and, like, the discrepancy between Yibum and Chalitza?
I just think it's interesting that in both cases, he says you need both. I mean, the point of the difference, you're asking?
I mean, is that, like, related?
I'm just saying this thing about Roa, Lave, and so on, that he says only on the Chalitza part.
Right.
So I just thought that, the fact that you need to ignore both in order to violate each is true. That's factual. I don't think that itself, you know, is, it's not like what I was saying about, you know, Lavanita Glasa or whatever. But I do think the extra line that he puts in for ignoring, you know, Chalitza, not and also Yibum, but especially based on the likely emphasis, you know, not only are you not doing Yibum, but you're also not doing Chalitza. From the Chalitza point of view at that point, there's a certain, like, Akazarius, which is the Mechayiv, and I think it's not a coincidence that that's connected to the Chalitza one and not the Yibum one.
That's not related to the relationship between
Yibum
and
Chalitza. Between what?
That's not related to the relationship between Yibum and Chalitza.
Well, I think it is to the extent that it shows they're not equal mitzvahs. What I'm saying is, you know, and this is the point I'm making in the Rambam too, which is that even though the Chinuch and the Rambam really count Yibam and Chalitza independently, that doesn't mean, you know, that they see these mitzvos, you know, as being completely parallel, like they're both kinyanim or they're both kiyumim, you know, or both chiyuvim as opposed to kiyumim. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I'm thinking in the that's true for the Rambam in formulation, you know, for sure. And I think Sefer Chinuch is very influenced by that. And I think it's even reflected by, you know, this common, you know, you have to be over al shneim, you know, in order to be over al achad mehem, but this added line, you know, when it comes to chalitza. So I do think in that respect. Okay. And having said that, so we should talk about for a minute. Yeah.
Two questions. One, so already saying that you have to be over on both, and then when you don't do your chalitza or yibum, you're over on both.
So what I'm saying is, if you, in order to violate yibum, you have to technically to be over on the assay of yibum, right, according to the Sefer Chinuch. Remember that. Let's also remember that the Sefer Chinuch in general, you know, has a certain proclivity, you know, which I think is very singular. You know, again, he every single mitzvah, maybe because he set himself up for that, or maybe the fact that he set himself up for it is, you know, an indication of his proclivity. But as we've said many times, number one, I think the concept of like a bitalase, as opposed to, you know, eino, you know, or over bezesh eino oseh hase, is a proclivity in the Chinuch that goes well beyond the Rambam, meaning he sees almost like a kumbase, you know, in abstaining from certain mitzvahs. Not all, but...
How point are you over on the Isra, though, of
Chalitza? Yeah, so just give me 1 second. So that's number one. Number two is that even separate from that, but it's like the moderate, I would say, expression of it, you know, is for him is like, you know, at minimum, even if there isn't a bitful mitzvah, you know, there's like a, I wouldn't say an Isra, I'd say, but there's like, oh, it, you're getting called out for, you know, not performing, you know, in a mitzvah say. That's something that the Chinuch in particular, you know, emphasizes. Again, structurally, but I don't think, you know, that's a coincidence. Having said that, so I think in the case of Yibum, you know, you basically are being called out for not doing Yibum. But technically, if you do Chalitza, since the Torah gave you the option, so, you know, we can't say that you're being Bavatel Yibum by doing Chalitza in the sense that, like, you know, you're invited, or even that you're over for not, you know, doing the mitzvah when the Torah gave you the alternative, even though it preferred that you do the Yibum over the Chalitza, right? So I think the point is that you're only, you know, going to, you know, violate, you know, the Yibum part of that, technically, you know, when you violate, or when you abstain, sorry, from both Yibum and Chalitza jointly. And that's what the Chinuch is saying in Tav Kuf Tzadi Ches. In Tav Kuf Tzadi Tes, I think he adds the extra line because, you know, is it shayach really to say, you know, and you're violating, you know, the by bypassing you're violating by bypassing the mitzvah of chalitza, you know, the opportunity of chalitza, right? I mean, it's technically true. Obviously, if you were to do yibum, there wouldn't be a problem. I mean, if you were to do yibum, you wouldn't say, oh, you know, and therefore you're not violating, do you understand, chalitza, which is something you might say in the opposite direction. So because of that, I think he has like a problem. Like, you know, how do you explain? So I guess he could have said, but if you don't do both, then it's a violation of chalitza. But I think by adding the extra line, it's his way of saying, you're never really violating not doing the assay of chalitza. That's always eclipsed by the fact that you're not doing the assay, you know, of yibam. But by not doing the assay of chalitza, you know, the added element is, you know, you're abusing, you know, this zika. And that's, you know, what it is. It's not so much the lost opportunity of the positive, you know, chalitza, as, you know, by not even doing the chalitza, you know, there is, you know, the isra say, if you want to call it, or the over al ha'aseh of chalitza isn't about chalitza, it's about, you know, leaving her in a state of zika. That's what I'm trying to suggest. And that highlights, you know, already not just the preference, maybe it would be enough for the preference, but I think also the fact that there's not necessarily anything positive about chalitza for the chinuch. But we'll get to that in just a second. Even if there are some positive manifestations of it, in addition to being a matir, I mean, if it's only about being a matir, so it's about you know, abstaining from being matir from the zika, and that's the roa lev, you know, that he's speaking about. Yeah.
So if there's no option, even let's say the case of Tosos or Cherish or something, assuming not like the Meiri, I'm not sure what the Meiri is in that case, but assuming that there are cases of Chalitza Midaraisa, only Chalitza Midaraisa, then would that be some sort of Kiyum and Yibum then?
Say that one more time. Oh, you're saying if you have a situation where you're obligated, where there's a potential, only a potential of Chalitza, not Yibum, so you're already taking a position, I mean, in the Kol HaOlel Yibum wars, right? You know, so would you then violate Chalitza, you know, even though you're not violating, or you haven't violated, but you're not doing Yibum, right? You still can't do Yibum, obviously. Meaning, according to the mainstream view of Rishonim, that you can have cases where you're chayiv b'chalitza, or there's a zika l'chalitza, or a chiyuv l'chalitza, you know, b'li yibum, right? You're still not, you know, violating yibum because you don't have the potential to do it, right? So it still, I think, comes out. I don't think the chinuch has to take a position in that, although I'm sure he's not. I don't think he's like in the Iri Ramah. You know, likely he's more like in the Rambam, you know, camp of those things. Maybe that there are such situations. I think it's a good question. I'm saying that I think in practice it doesn't come out that way. Okay. So the other two, this idea of chalitza being a kin is something we discussed, or it being a chalos, chalutza, etc. Again, that's why I want to talk about the other Yerushalmi. I'm going to get more done. But what's the other Yerushalmi? The one in Yud Beis Akiva? Kroll? You saw it? The one Yud Beis... I'm pretty sure I gave any of these to him. Yud Beis Vav? Natan? Saw it? We've definitely mentioned it before. Is it Yud Beis Vav? What?
Vav.
It is Vav, right? Okay. Akiva, got it?
Yeah.
One second, I'm in the wrong sector. Always a problem. Okay. What do we got for Yud Beis Vav? Is it Vav? So that's, of course, in Perek Mitzvah Skalitza. It's just an important lashon of the Yerushalmi. It's hard to know what to make of it, you know, but... Right at the end here. Yeah, you have the line?
Is Tanya Tanya Tani Chalitza Gnai? Is Tanya Tanya Tani Chalitza Shabbach?
So is Chalitza Gnai? Again, hard to pin down these lashonos completely, but they're all obviously important formulations, right? And then, you know, you have to look and see what they say. We don't have so much time right now, but the gnai obviously is, you know, it's a matir, but it's a gnai. Or is there some positive element in chalitza? Yeah. Amar Rav Chisda. So originally, the Yerushalmi thought that this gufa is the argument of Mishnah Rishona, Mishnah Achrona, namely of, you know, the question of kedima. Which is a logical view. Go ahead.
Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Chalitza Gnai, Mishnah Rishona, Amar Chalitza Shevach, Mishnah Achrona.
Yeah.
Umrview. Let's see. Afilu Dema, our Kanmakan Commission, we should run the Kanmakan Commission after all. Man, the Amar Chalitza Gnai, Odish, Pagam Navar, Echabinat, Ora, Yambo, Yito, Pagamo.
What does that mean?
So, because.
It's just an interesting language, so strong language. Yeah. He's pogay mechad min haTorah. I mean, even if chalitza is, what does it mean pogay mechad dovra? Because at minimum, he's not bona beisach achiv, right? He's not. You not make him. It's clear in the psukim that dibum is preferable, right?
Moshe has
so, well, if you're talking about Abishol, if that's really the impediment, yeah, okay. But what's the other one? Of course, is the more intriguing one. Yeah, and then obviously that's a really strange. I don't have time right now. I'm not sure I know what it is anyway. I have some theories. But what's the Kari Bahem Shemi? Yeah, Parshas Vayichi. Right? So they're comparing. Every Kriyas Shem is some sort of a Chalos, Kiyum. So saying the. V'nikra shmo b'Yisrael beis chalutz hanal is a shavach. So of course, if you say that means it's a kinyan, or you know, what does it mean here? By the way, in the back, one of them says here it's a bracha.
Yeah, it's the Pnei Moshe.
Pnei Moshe adds the word bracha, right?
And then he says shavach b'bracha b'aruch
Yisrael. Yeah, good. Well, what a way to end, you know. So all good, but you know. Challenging, obviously. If you look at the, I was looking in the back of my Yerushalmi, so the Shiarei HaKorban, I think, they don't have it here, this one. So they say this point, like, you know, that sounds so random, like, you know, anytime the word Kriya is out there, you know, you're going to say that it's, you know, it's a positive thing. So he has, like, some other possibilities. Boaz, you know, Zvinikra Shemo B'Yisrael, or Ammon and Moav, like, you know, he suggests that this is the wrong makar. Okay. Either way, is the idea here, you know, maybe the fact that there's a certain, you know, element of closure, like we discussed in the beginning of the year. On the one hand, like the Tosfos Rashi Mishnah and Rabbeinu Bechai and, you know, all those kind of indications that, you know, the Rekika and the, you know, and the Chalitza Sanal, you know, these are, on the one hand, they say, like, oh, you're killing him again, you know, you're closing the kever, you know, so that he can't, you know, come back, or that his legacy is, you know, is finalized. So all those things, you know, seem very negative. On the other hand, you know, the fact that you need to, the alternative, you know, is that this woman, the woman is in limbo. But not only that, but the mace is in limbo, in a certain sense. Meaning, she's called, you know, Esha Samace. And as we discussed from the very beginning, you know, Konis Atzmo, you know, usually Benisa Sabal. You know, whether you see it as a matir, or the end of the Ishus, all that, you know, because of the unfinished business of, you know, the Ein Labanim, the Ein Labain, you know, but so that's why, you know, you have all this. And even if it's not handled satisfactorily, the fact that it needs to be, I would say a few things. The fact that it needs to be handled, you know, in a legal way, and that there are consequences if you don't, already is a kind of os shavach for Kieshvu Achim Yachdav, number one. Number two, it could be that the closure itself, you know, that she is no longer Esha Sameis, or that she is now Muteres Lashuk, is a positive, you know, it's not the preferable solution. It's a gnai legabe, you know, the shevach of Yibum, especially when it's done in a matter of Kedushas Isha Shel Yibum. But maybe also, you know, if the chalitza is a function of, like, you know, the inability, you know, to do Yibum in a positive Kedusha way. So, you know, just like Gerushin, you know, is a, as we've discussed, a kind of a safety valve, you know, for Kedushas Ishos, you know, who are doing the Chalitza. The Ramban has a, I think one of the things I told you to look at on Mem Dalid, you know, the Ramban has the discussion that maybe Chalitza is only Kodemes, I'm sorry, maybe Yibum is only Kodemes Lechalitza, you know, when there's, you know, multiple brothers, says the Ramban. In the Havamina, to explain the Havamina of the Gemara. He doesn't hold this way, the Maskana. It's not true, the Maskana. But it's an interesting way to explain the Havamina of the Gemara. Meaning, the way the Ramban says it is that, like, you know, if you had only one brother, you know, so then to say Yibum, Kodim Lechalitza, you know, would, you know, be too risky, you know, in terms of Kfiya, you know, or the possibility, in other words, that this person's, you know, decision, you know, is, or that the decision for Yibum, you know, is colored by obligation, but it's not consistent, you know, with actually creating an Ishus Shel Kedusha. But if you have alternatives, you know, so in that situation, like if there are Tzaros, let's say, you know, so then, okay, so there, you know, you have some element of choice. And that element of choice, you know, makes Yibum, again, technically, if you're talking about Lahakim, La'achiv, Shein, B'Yisrael, you know, and you're looking at it in a very, you know, pragmatic, you know, technical, narrow way, you know, it doesn't make a difference, obviously. But if the idea is that part of this, you know, kind of integrates the concern for, so then that's a way of explaining how Chalitza is a kiyum in Yibum, I mean, the possibility of Chalitza, just like the possibility of Gerushin, as it becomes a, you know, not a way to avoid your responsibility, you know, but kind of an investment, you know, in making sure, you know, that the preferred, you know, approach, you know, is done, you know, in a way that extricates it from Eishes Ach and promotes it as Ki Yeshvu Achim Yachdav. So it's hard to know, you know, but this idea of being like Chalutzaso, and that implies also a relationship, you know, of Beis Chalutzanal, and, you know, both, you know, the fact that there is closure, the fact that she's Muteres, the closure of, you know, Eisha Sameis, you know, and as well as I say, the, if this circumstance, this is like the Kedusha, you know, alternative that is best, then there's a Nachas Ruach, you know, for the Meis and for the Isha, you know, and in that sense, like, you know, the Kari Bahem Shmi, these, this idea of a Kriyas Shame or a, you know, based the Nikra Shemo, based Chalutzanal, like the of a both a formal, you know, ending of the story in all these respects, as well as, you know, this being like an official, you know, also a family status in some respects. Maybe not like Rabbi Akiva, you know, maybe these are parts of what we're talking about. And it certainly could be part of the, it's hard to know what the Zohar means. You have the language of the Zohar? It's in Parshas Chukas, I didn't bring it. But the again, the Beis Shmuel, in Kuf Samachei Sif Katan Tes, quotes the Zohar. Give me a few more minutes and I'm going to stop. I'm already going longer than I said, which happens sometimes. Probably happened before. I don't remember when, but... Okay. One second. So, anybody look up the Beis Shmuel? I think we mentioned it in the past also. What's it talking about, the Beis Shmuel? Ari, you see it? No? Nathan, you saw it? Moredes. It's about Moredes. is she a moredes if she refuses chalitza? Just one second. I hope I brought it. Oh, here it is. Yeah. Kol Yavama. Oh, one second. It should be on the previous page. Did I bring it? Okay. Anyway, the topic on Kuf Samach is Moredes. What?
I have the language.
Okay. Yeah. Before we get to the language, so the Beis Shmuel Sif Katan Tes is basically trying to figure out, you know, let's say there's a you know, an economic aspect. If she refuses, you know, Yibum and or Chalitza, and she remains tied, you know, so she obviously has a certain, you know, claim on some of the finances of the Ksuva. So if she refuses to give that up, there's an element of Moredes in that. That's what Beis Shmuel in Kuf Samachei Tes is talking about. Hinei Betura B'Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch says Moredes, Lo Kosvo Dehi Moredes. Right? Ella, B'Piske Marai, meaning in the Trumas Hadeshen, that's where they use Pirish game. Right, v'cheinu b'magid, right, afilu imritzona liyave mikomokom dina kimaredes, af l'shitas haposkin l'mitzas yibum kodemes, mikomokom b'didei tal yirachmona. She says, I'll do yibum, but I don't want to do chalitza. I mean, she doesn't want to give up the financial part. Iboy miyabim, it's up to him. Okay. V'im, v'im eina rotza lachlo, tzmachmos busha, o dekoshel alios shvela, v'nichnas lo, then dina kimoredes shenosenes amaso l'dvareh. That's okay. V'tzorek l'haksir lo hanedunya, right, kamo shekosav, right, v'im kavanasa b'shvil mamon oz yavino nakol liyavam afilo machshe knisahi, right, in terms of the nedunya v'nichse milug v'bishala v'ayim b'trumas hadashen. Basically, the Beis Shmuel is weighing whether the status of Moredes here mostly can be neutralized, you know, if you can, like, take the economic aspect out of it. So then he says, but then basically what he's suggesting is that all things being equal, if you can neutralize the economic part, then if she refuses to be choletzes, then it's, you know, everything is good. You could leave her, you know, in that state. So then he adds in the end, go ahead, Natan. After he says all this, yeah, and if you look at the, there they use the language of, you know, it's osa nachas ruach lemeis. Again, it's hard to know what that means. Could be some of the things I mentioned before. Could be connected to that Yerushalmi and the view that it's Shevach. But, so here the Piskei Tshuva quotes the whole discussion of the Chacham Tzvi. If you remember the Chacham Tzvi from earlier in the year, Simen Aleph, no less, Chacham Tzvi discusses this question whether or not, you know, if she is not interested in remarrying for whatever reason, is there a mitzvah of chalitza at all? Right? And the Chacham Tzvi basically assumes that there is no such mitzvah, that it's only a din in, you know, her being an aguna. Anything other than her being an aguna, meaning if she's okay with it, if she has no, if she's happy with the status quo, then leaving her in a state of zika, thinks the Chacham Tzvi is not a problem. Very fascinating view. So in the Piskei Tshuva here, Sif Katan Zayin, Ubesefer Kerem Shlomo, right? Masha nu kofin ala chalitza mishum lesa dida she'ein chos min al sav lo tisagen v'teisav shem he wrote al his agen v'gam hu eino makbid anan lo ichbaslon v'chein het tikt varav agon bal chsam sofer b'guin ashkonar shalo u'betshuvas chsam sofer evan ezra chelik pei simen pei hei. Because of Shagama Zohar, lo amru le mitzvah shia bitzas asei ki im shu skula l'nishmas hameis. Bukain, listen to these examples, meaning that some sofer try in his tshuva plays down even the Zohar and buys into the idea, right, that there is no iser to leave her in a state of zika as long as she's not makpida. V'hukein gmilus chesed im amesim ukmo amiras kaddish. Okay, it's just fascinating what it is. Vein lachuf isha afilo likvuraso mikolshkein. But you're not going to be kofer her ligmol chesed hazeh im hulo letorach umepnei abusha hoshum tam. Okay. Well, she was very good. Right, a cooperative, shoelis. But anyway, this is a very interesting issue. If you look at the Chacham Tzvi, which we did see in the beginning of the year, you could have thought from the Chacham Tzvi that basically he holds, that it's a matir, that it's not a mitzvah. And therefore, she's not interested in the heter. It could be a matir and we still require it. Or it could be more like a matir, and then it depends on what you want. What's fascinating about the Chacham Tzvi is that you would have thought that, he would be saying, that, Shelo Tisagen, so it comes under other rubric. It's not a mitzvah schalitza. It's a mitzvah, lo litzara. You could say drachel darche noam or hashavas aveda or like all sorts of other things. But what's fascinating about the Chacham Tzvi is that he thinks that it's her prerogative, but that when she is interested in chalitza, then it really is a mitzvah of chalitza itself. Ad kedekach, that like you apply things like shihuye mitzvah lo mashinan in terms of delay, and that the sugin ksuvis about kofinoso al mitzvah saseh would apply, but not any mitzvah saseh. Like the Gemara there has, you could say, oh, the mitzvah say of, letting her, live her life. Again, like I said, Rachel Darche Noam, something like that. But he thinks it's actually the asay, meaning he thinks there's a flexibility within chalitza. It's a matir, not a mitzvah, but it'll be a mitzvah, if she wants it, if she wants linase. That's a very interesting, in between. But pashtus, that's a strange, combination. So it's interesting that the this question of her role, her being the one to determine this, the Chacham Tzvi is the difference between a mitzvah chalitza and a neutral chalitza. He makes a comparison to sugya and ksuva stuff mem, which we also saw earlier in the year when we talked about hutra and dechuya and ase, dochalos ase sheina shavala kol. So, like the Gemara says on in ksuva on daf mem, that in the case of an anusa, it depends whether she wants to marry him or not, right? So there are all sorts of consequences, in that particular case. So that is used as a paradigm by Bali Tosis and then by the Achronim, as we saw, for this this broad question, of ase dochalos ase and so on. The Chacham Tzvi in Siman Aleph also he makes that comparison, I believe, to the Sugya Daf Mem in Ksuvos. So if she's not interested, so it's not a mitzvah. But just like we saw, I think the Pnei Yoshua, possibly the Minchas Chinuch, right, earlier in the year, were saying, no, that's a special din, in Anusa. meaning she was a victim, and now it's totally her call whether or not, you know, there's a mitzvah or a chiyuv, you know, for the ma'anes, you know, to marry her. Of course, you're not going to pile on the you know the you know the grievance. You know, she was a victim one time, and therefore she's going to be a victim. You know, it's such a strange idea to all of us anyway. But so if this is something that she wants and something that would be a tikkun, she's entitled, right, to this, you know, development, to, if from her point of view it mitigates or neutralizes, you know, what happened to her. Be'ina, you know, leminsava. So that's part of the mechayiv, it's part of the hagdara, you know, in the case of Anusa. It's a mitzvah which depends on her. But that's not necessarily true in something like chalitza, even though, again, there is a, you know, a benefit for her which she can forego in terms of, you know, being in a state of zika and not having, you know, the option to be remarried. But it's not clear that the mechayiv of chalitza, you know, is her toelis. It could be, again, objectively, like you said, you know, to end the status of Aisha, to solve Aisha Sameis, to reflect, you know, the responsibility of Kieshvu, you know, Achim Yachta, you know, to create a certain closure, you know, even though you'd prefer the closure of, you know, Lachim Lachiv, shame and keeping his legacy alive, Kabbalistically or symbolically or whatever, you know, but in the end of the day, you know, the final nail in his coffin, if you will, not really a nail, but, or the, you know, final avelus, you know, is still a closure. So the idea that, you know, that you compare that automatically to Anusa is, I think, not so pashut. What's fascinating is that the, I think the, you know, the Rashash says the same thing. Achronim point this out also, I believe, on Lamed Tesum Beis. Again, in the sugya of Chalitzas Gadol versus Yibum Katan. So it's, he says the same thing about Yibum, that Yibum is only if she wants, if she, that there's no Hagdara, at least, one second, I should have given you this to look at, but anybody have it? On Lamed Tesum, how does this work here? On Lamed Tesum Beis, he has a suggestion, which is particularly interesting in light of his own view. Just one second. Yeah. In the Shaka Vitari here on Lamed Tesum Beis. Afilu, mashum v'terutza yatura tzgamzeh muchach tafilu akotan rotza lachlotz, right? Mikomokum kaifinen legadol. Tadafka gabi bia lo kaifinen le, meaning the older brother, the toli rachmana birtsono, tiksiv imlo yachpots. Komodama rav lekaman ain kofin, lepir shabinatam, velochein kosov abash, Beishmuel, Sof Simin Kuf Samachalef. L'chorekasha l'divrei Tosas d'chazinan, d'afil amandar machalitzas gadol, adifa mikomokom lo kaifinan, yesh l'chalek bein rotzim liavim l'bein enam rotzim el alachlot. Anyways, this Rashash is also applying a kind of a, you know, a rot, how much, to what extent is rotzon, in other words, a factor in the mitzvah of Yibum, a much bigger chiddush to say that about Yibum than it is to say, you know, in terms of her ratzon, the chalitza. What? It's clearer there?
Yeah, on Shav and Ratzon, can
you know, then he asked a question also about Asay, the Chalos Asay?
Yeah, that's one.
Yeah, which one is that?
On Dirmasa, Shav and Ratzon, can you know,
in this, here it is. I see. Yeah, middle of Mishani Demayri Beina Rotsa Lehinase Ode Mashma Bezed Beemes Lake Mitzvah Klal. Meaning, if she's interested in staying in a state of zika, you're right. This one's clear. B'tia ruuya l'may demashma b'pirush Rashi. I'll give that a second. V'ayim mashu kasav nusham. Avakashali im kain lo lidchi ase diibum afil lo sase greda da'i amra lo biina lisnatzuve like ase klal. So the Rashash also is quoting that Gemara. That Gemara is explaining that there's no ase dokalos ase because the ase is dependent on her ratzon. So he's saying that hu adin legabe chalitza, the hu adin legabe yibum, which is even more mechudash. And since that's the case, you should say ein ase dokalos ase. You shouldn't say ase dokalos ase, ein ase dokalos ase. Because it's not to shavala kol. It could be, as we said, that that is a special din in Anusa, because it's not just the question of shavala kol there. They could say, oh, it depends on the circumstance. It's part of the hagdara of the ase itself. Not so clear that that is true for chalitza. It's even less clear that that would be true, you know, for yibum. But this idea of the Chacham Tzvi, some people do suggest, and that's what he's referring to, that that is what Rashi meant in Sanhedrin, in the sugya of Melech, on Yud Ches Omid Beis. I am going to finish in a minute, I'm sorry. We'll need one more, just what... So here Rashi on Yud Ches Omid Beis, he's trying to explain why the Melech's wife is not subject to chalitza. So he says, one second. What's that?
I think it's like yid chesed.
Yeah, what did I say? I'm just trying to find the line. You have it?
Yeah.
The lochot tzlisht on the top, yeah. Mipnei shasur li nase. Right. So, yeah. So what mipnei shasur li nase is a strange... So here, actually, the Rashash on this Gemara, which that's what he's referring to, that's what he tells you to look at. All these Gemaras work differently, right? Ah, okay. The Rashash on this Gemara has a very long piece, as I recall. Yeah. So he says, L'chora hachanami, the mitzvah chalitza ain't a bechdesha temu teres linase. Like, what is chalitza? Just a matir. And not even a mitzvah matir that's objective, but a... You know, a matir, meaning elishi mitzvah mitam hekamus meitanu. Okay, that's a good line. Meaning, like, you know, it's hard to figure out what the mitzvah of chalitza, beyond being matir her, you know, is. So he says, you know, it's a bit of a mystery, but whatever it is, isn't it a mitzvah? Right? Afim eina rotzali nase leolam. And again, says Chacham Tzvi. Then we add, Zubetuvas Chacham Tzvi, Majma, you know, the Chacham Tzvi suggests that, you know, it's a chiyuv, but it, you know, it's not a mitzvah gemura. That's why he talks about ketana, and, you know, that the das is das, you know, lekinyan, you know, not le mitzvah. Zubetuvas Chacham Tzvi, Majma, the dat gam ken, demena rotza in kan mitzvah. The Tzorachian Bedavar Zen. Then he writes, I am Asher Kasab, the Biva Moslem and Tesla Mepes. Ulaye Shlomar, the Kavanas Rashi, the Krolo Mairi Elabosan Shane Mutaris Linase, Mishum de Siv. Vosia Asher Samesa Chutza, the Mashma de Zulazesh, as Kukali Yibum, Hoysa Mutaris Lachutz. I am Psachim. Okay, that's a funny one. Mishi Surushim Batocha Chametz, you know, the relationship between Chametz and Matzah. So they, anyway, but he doesn't mean it literally. Ubarash Bitaros. But his suggestion is that unlike the, if you don't say what the Chacham Tzvi says, which is that Chalitza is a matir and therefore it depends on her, what he's saying is no, it's a mitzvah and it's objective. Aye, but here Rashi does seem to say that in the case of Eisha Samelech, you know, since there's no, if that's not the general din of Chalitza, so what is it? So he's saying maybe it's kind of like a Gzeres HaKasuv, you know, just like you find about the relationship between Chametz and Matzah or other such things, namely that, you know, she has to have the potential, you know, it says Eishas HaChut, Eishas, you know, Hameis HaChut Sal Yizar, so, you know, this is the only thing that's holding her back. But if she can't be, she's not Muteres Lashuk, you know, anyway, then there's no, it's not because Chalitza, you know, is only a matter and therefore there's no point to it. It's not the Tamei Mitzvos or the Mechayev of Chalitza that's the problem. It's the Hagdara of Chalitza that's the problem. Or maybe part of what he means is, he doesn't say this, either it's a Hagdara, like there's no, you know, no shame Chalitza if there's no, you know, Ikuv, you know, or maybe he means that the din of Chalitza is a matir, or if he doesn't mean this, one could say it. Even if the din of the matir is a mitzvah, right, it's still not a matir if it's not going to have the effect of giving her the potential to remarry. So, like, objectively, you know, this particular, although, you know, maybe it would take away the problem of Shemeris, you know, Yavam. So this actually is an interesting question. Then he goes on, you know, to discuss, you know, the Rambam. There are those who understand Rashi, I should add, that Rashi really is just saying here, Kala Ola Li'ibum, Ola Chalitza Kol She'ena Ola Li'ibum, Ena Ola L'Chalitza. And since she's not Ola Li'ibum in that sense, but it doesn't sound that way in Rashi. It does sound like it's something more. Whether it's the something more of the Rashash, or the way I'm interpreting it, or it's a raya for the Chacham Tzvi, like that is you know, not so clear. Yeah. Then he adds, you know, a comment on the Rambam that I just want to make a quick haran. He says, you know, the Rambam in Perek Beis Hilchos Melachim, we discussed this already, you know, has the line that Kim Shi'efshe Liyabim Es Ishto Kachim Choltzim La. That this is a dinan, you know, Kol She'eno Liyibum, you know, Eina B'Chalitza. So he just wants to know, like, why is that any different than, you know, than Ase or Ase V'Lav? And you're a Pashut, or what's on my time, Kol Ola Liyibum. Says v'lo amarti al das barana kesef mishnah. That's a different breed. Oh, the kashalei chayv yaseh bi'alma gam kein midaraisa. Right, lo chayv liyab liyibum lo chal liyibum. They naseh dechol aseh b'kol makom arbina miyvemto on the chalitza. And he quotes the gemara in davcha. My uma hayaseh to some tosev alecha shetei maso alecha bishara aseh. The Ein Lomar, this is a funny one. Kiva der Shus biyada larog hamibazeyu, kamosha kasavram le perigil mokos malachim. Therefore, it's like chayve krisis because there's a, you know, a capital offense. The vade tafsi ba kiddushin, by gemar sham tali taime bahachi. Right? Veda denir bar the Ein Acholates, you know, mikomoko. Right? Elahu, even if this is the only one, Kaloshon Rambam. Yeah. Anyways, so two things I just wanted to make a point, going very quick, and that is there might be a difference between, you know, Ase Velav and Ase, another distinction that we, you know, should be familiar with from other contexts, where the problem is a particular relationship, as opposed to where this problem is the Isha's own status itself. Now, on the one hand, the problem of Som Tasa Malacha, you know, Malach Shetei Masa Malacha, on the one hand, could be perceived, you know, as a, you know, Iser Mishum Davar Acher Goreim, meaning something, you know, that is completely extraneous. On the other hand, particularly for the Rambam, being an Eishes, you know, Hamelech, you know, has a special chalos, even more than other Rishonim, in terms of, you know, Rambam Shita Pilegesh, not to go into detail right now, but so the chalos, Eishes Melech, may not just be like a technicality, but it really is a status. Or, and either way, maybe one of the factors in applying Kola Ola Liyibum as opposed to distinguishing Chalitza and Yibum may be, as I say, whether, you know, the problem, you know, is anybody, or the problem is, you know, the particular candidate, you know, in question. And that might be another place to draw the line of the rounds. I think both of those factors. But either way, what the discussion of whether Chalitza is a mitzvah and what impact that has on, you know, Kavana and Katan, and, you know, if she's happy with the status quo, if she can, if she has the ability, you know, to marry someone else, and might be Makalik between, again, her Ratzon and her ability, based on the shot in the Rashash. All of these are obviously factors, you know, that go into this question of how you understand Chalitza. There are some Achronim who suggest that that, you know, that maybe it could bring a raya also from Tosis. I didn't bring it in Nida, but Tosin Nida Samach Vav and Beis, you know, discusses the question, and Tosin Kedushin also Nafcha Vav. Kala Roy Labila Ain Bila Makeves Kol Sheena Roy Labila Bila Makeves. When do you apply that halacha? Number one, and number two, whether or not there is a you know, lechatchila, you know, to do, when there's more than one way to accomplish something, you know, whether you are obligated, you know, at least lechatchila to try to do it in an optimal, you know, way, like a zekein levan veyu, you know, kind of a way, or even more in the case where, like, the Torah seems to describe like a performance, and, you know, there's more than one way to accomplish it, I would say lechatchila way, but the b'diavad way. So Tosa says in Nida, if I could get it for a second, Samach Vav Beis, I think it's the first Tosa. It's up there? Yeah. So Tosa, yeah, keep going. Oh, wait a second. V'im Tomar, kini v'lo ma'ak v'hecha de'ein roi l'bila nani l'skasher. Right? Why is there? So this is, again, Bali Tosis in different places have two dayas on this question. In other words, even though you don't need in Tibitova and Mikvah in the base Hastarim, but there shouldn't be a chatzitza there. The Kei Mekamadukti, and so on. So the first point Tosis makes is that if the Torah spells out like a certain category, so then the principle of Kolaroi Labila applies to it. However, then Tosis goes on to say, smicha, whatever. Then Tosa says, okay, Vim Tomar, Amay Lobina, Mayim Lechatkilim. So why don't you go further and say that that there's not only is there a din of Kolaroi Labila, but that there is also an actual Lechatkila, right, to do things the way the Torah described it, in the Vila way, in other words. So in the case of, let's say, Tvila B'mikvah, Amay Lobina, B'yas Mayim Lechatkila, B'beis Astarim, Kembo Bila. Ukriya b'chalitza, right? Uba bikurim, because in these things are not ma'akev, right? But not only do we say that misha'ena roi, you know, even though it's not ma'akev, that, you know, kala roi labila bila ma'akeves, but we also lechatchila want there to be a kriya and a rakika and all the things, you know, etc. So here Tosis has a line where he says, you know, where he's contrasting this with tefillah b'mikvah, and he says, "Yeshlamer ein svar gavay tefillah shelo kpida Torah ela sheyitahir adam." Right, the ein lomar de lechatchila liboy the kivin de b'diavet tar lechatchila nami loboy the tal lo tefillah aval bilo mikra bikurin b'chalitza mitzvos ninu ukach lechatchila liyaben. So again, a lot of the Achronim picked up on that line in Tosis. So it's, again, it's an interesting, because there are three levels here, right, you know. Like when we say Kalaroi Labila, some people think that you only say Kalaroi Labila itself if there's a Kiyum L'chatkila. That's some of the other days in Tosis, in Kiddushin, and Nida, and Choros, and all the different places. But whatever. But clearly there is a Ha'ara here, that unlike Tvila, which is more pragmatic, like Tvila here is being treated like a matir. So we're saying that even though there is a din of kolaroi, labila, right, but there's no lechatchila of havas mayim, the mokom, you know, the beis hastarim, because at the end of the day, like, you know, the important thing is for the matir, it should get done. You know, similar to the, like, the discussion that we had last year, you know, about Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir, you know, when, you know, Eina Mesira Karsi. So, like, one of the Ha'aras of the Rush says, like, what? There's, the Rif says, L'chatchila you should do. The Rif of the Rambam says, L'chatchila you should use Eina Mesira. B'dieved, you can get away with Eina Chasima. Like, it's a get. You know, it's a legal category. Either it works or it doesn't work. Well, where do you find L'chatchila and B'dieved are in mitzvos. They're not in... Okay, we explained that last year. It's not for now. But, you know, it's a similar kind of mentality. So according to this perspective, I mentioned this earlier, the fact that there are so many pratim in Chalitza in terms of how to do it and doing it the right way, the lechatchila way, etc., all of these, you know, are indicators, somewhat, of I'm going to have to stop. So let me just mention two other things quickly. I will have to have one more after the final. Some point. I still want to speak about Shlichus, Edekium, Mitzvah Slavli Honesnitnu. I still want to speak about the brothers and the Tzaros in terms of Efshel Lekayim Shneim, which I started speaking about. So let me just mention in closing regarding this question of, again, different perspectives on what constitutes a Chalitza. That this also may have something to do, we have to, you know, discuss this with Asher, but the question of being mevatel mitzvahs yavmin, right, what options there are in chalitza and whether there's a difference between chalitza psula or not. So that's one whole area to think about. That is one option to think about. Again, Reb Chaim's view on Edekium, I want to discuss a little more, but is that Yibum requires Edekium, and that Chalitza, he thinks that for the Rambam, Chalitza does not, because Chalitza is just a matir or a maisa de bimela, as opposed to Yibum, which is Yitziras HaChalitz. There are Rishonim who seem to take both views, meaning either that Yibum doesn't require Edekium, or that even Chalitza does require Edekium. So I want to examine that, and a little more about the issue of Shlichus and so on. But I just wanted to mention also two other things very quickly. Number one, in the Shitas Kamai, if you look on page 660, they quote there Rabbi Yehuda Klonimus in Erchei Tanaim and Amoraim, where he strongly connects the idea of chalitza to gittin, and as a matir, and that is his explanation. Very different, maybe not so different, but different enough from the Meiri. Why it is that we say chalitza, you know, b'makom yibum, ain't a mitzvah, like the Yerushalmi that the Meiri quotes on the Eina Ola, that's kind of what the Rabbi Yehuda ben Klonim is. I wanted to fill out that picture has in the other direction. On the other hand, you know, so that's again this matir idea. On the other hand, the Maram and the Tshuva, Kela Gimel Simen Shin Ayin Beis, suggests that the kfiya to do chalitza, like the Chacham Tzvi in his, you know, fallback position, is based on kofin lasos mitzvah saseh, meaning like sukkah, lulav, so too chalitza, implying that it is a kiyum hamitzvah, not just a matir. And that I wanted to contrast with the Mordechai, who again in that sugya lamites Amud Aleph, suggests that the reason that this kfiya b'chalitza has to do with the zika, meaning something we discussed earlier in the year also, which is, you know, the ability of one person ever to impose their will on another, you know, since people are free fundamentally, at least they're free from each other, can only really be justified when there's already a, like a bond between them. That's why Gittin can be Bal Karchan and Yibum and Chalitza and so on. So the Mordechai explains that's why Chalitza, there's Kfiya Chalitza, because there's a Zika. But again, avoiding perhaps the Gemara in Ksuvis, the contrast between, you know, the two formulations, you know, again, highlights, you know, this, you know, pretty fundamental debate. Okay, I'm going to stop because it's, it took a, already a lot of time. So these are things to think about in terms of the relationship between, or the nature of Chalitza and the relationship to Yibum. I say I still want to speak just a little bit more. I'm going to give myself one last chance to finish up Shlichos and Kinyan Sudar and the question, I say, of Achim and Tsaros and how that fits in, you know, to, you know, there being alternative mitzvahs. And the rest of the Mar Mekobos that I gave you, and then after that we'll figure out what we'll probably maybe do something on Zika, or if there's some other request, you know, going forward. Anyways, Hatzlacha and Chazar for the Bechina. I hope it puts together a lot of different things, and you know, we'll look forward to continuing, you know, after that at some point.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe we can have time to meet next week.